using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Thursday, the 30th of September, year of our Lord, 2021, day 565 of America Held Hostage. Well, today we have a lot to talk about. When you look at the purging on YouTube and how bold and how common it has become, there's also many other fingerprints on this that show you exactly where this is coming from and how this is a merger of corporations with business to push, by the way, a communist agenda. And we'll talk about that. We'll also have with us Steve Malloy from junkscience.com. His science is not junk. He's exposing the other junk science. And he talks a lot about the climate change agenda, which is now coming back to the center of everything in order to accomplish this great reset. All right, as we begin, let's start with the censorship, because as I've said many times, this lockdown of the entire planet was accomplished without firing a single shot. It was accomplished with the shots that are rolling out now. But even before these shots rolled out, as they were preparing the shot, they were able to get this done because of propaganda, because of control of the press. And that means even the alternative press, who remained silent about it. You had the Democrats cheering it. You had the Republicans remaining silent about it because it was being done by Trump. And these are the shots that were sent around the world, coming out of America, and the tyranny that has been left behind, and we'll be getting into that as well. But I want to begin with this tyranny that is global, and that is the tyranny attacking free speech. YouTube has now banned all anti-vax videos. They're saying it's not just the Trump shots. You don't say anything bad at all about any of these vaccines, MMR, any of them. And this is exactly where this has been going for quite some time. And as you see this ramping up, the plan over the last 20 years, as I said, from the very first simulation of this, which anticipated the false flag of 9/11 and the false flag of anthrax a week later, they did the first dark winter, and the end purpose of dark winter was to get everybody vaccinated very quickly. You lock them down. They would tell people everybody died because you weren't draconian enough in the lockdown. And then everybody died because you didn't roll out a vaccine, experimental vaccine, quickly enough. But the bottom line on that first one was emergency vaccination. And on every one of these simulations over the last 20 years, of course, everybody's familiar with the last one, Event 201. I don't understand why people don't go back and look at all of the other annual simulations being done by the CDC and Johns Hopkins and the Bloomberg School of Medicine there. The usual suspects on an annual basis, training everybody to do that. And then, of course, 2 months after they did the anthrax attack, they rolled out the legislation for the states to do this type of thing. Because I guess they figured that they can get away with it now with the Supreme Court the way that it is, with public opinion the way that it is, with the trashing of the Constitution the way that it is. But back then they said, you know, we're going to have a lot of problems if we try to do this from Washington. So let's push this out to the states and let them do it. But now you've got Joe Biden just can't control himself. He's such an authoritarian. He hates all individual liberties, I've said many times. And so he is, I'm not going to digress into that again. This is the guy you want to have there if you want to test the limits of how far the federal government can push things. But it's always been about the vaccination, always. And it's always been about making it mandatory for everyone. And so now you have Big Pharma, which has got all protection from all liability with these vaccines. Now they're going to be protected by YouTube and by the government from any criticism as well. So no liability and no criticism of anything that they produce. So when you look at what they're doing now, this is not a surprise to me. I mean, I got kicked off YouTube so many times, so many different times this last time after I started my own independent show. They kicked me off when I said the world was becoming China because they're protecting China. But the other two times that I was kicked off was for criticizing the lockdown, the vaccine, essentially what is happening to us. You know, it's safe to talk about the Democrat versus Republican stuff. It's safe to talk about the border. But you talk about what is happening with the lockdown, with the vaccines, oh, you're off in an instant. And so it doesn't surprise me. I'm just surprised that a lot of these people have been on there as long as they have, since it happened so long ago and so quickly to me. The new rules, they say, prohibit content alleging that vaccines cause chronic side effects. They're saying chronic side effects. No, it causes fatal side effects. Let's get that clear. We're not talking about, there's a lot of people, millions of people who have chronic side effects, paralysis, heart damage, a lot of things like that. And there's tens of thousands of people in every one of these reporting systems, whether it's the U.S. or the U.K. or the E.U., tens of thousands of people who have died. We're not talking about chronic effects. We're talking about dying here as well. Or, you know, paralyzed for life. Many other things. So you do not allege. This is not an allegation, folks. It is a proven fact. We have a lot of individual cases, and I'm going to talk some more about some of these that are all young, because they're going to be pushing the mandates now to the five-year-olds, K through 12. That's where this is headed. So you do not allege, even, that vaccines cause chronic side effects. Do not reduce transmission or contraction of the disease. So you're not allowed to say that on YouTube or on Google. Or that they contain unlisted ingredients like fetal cells. The rules apply to all currently approved and administered vaccines, not just the Trump shots. And quite frankly, I think this is really a way of protecting the Trump shots. Because they're saying, well, you know, it's just anybody who's anti-vax. You're just anti-vax in general. It's not that you see these things as being uniquely dangerous and experimental. No. You just don't like vaccines in general. Well, that's true, I don't. But there's a lot of people out there who say, well, I don't have a problem with the traditional vaccines that are out there. I've seen a lot of people damaged by those traditional vaccines. And because there is no liability for these vaccine manufacturers, it's a hard pass for me now. But I didn't know that for a while. I understand people not knowing that. But let me tell you, there's a lot of people who, even though they had no problem with the traditional vaccines, they have a big problem with this because it was completely different. It's not even a vaccine. You're not exposing somebody to a deactivated or weakened thing. You're turning their body into a factory to manufacture toxic spike proteins. These spike proteins are not deactivated. They are activated. You're programming your mRNA to make these spike proteins. Just amazing to me. So not only that, if you better not stray away from talking about the, quote, rare side effects that are recognized by health authorities. No, they're covered up by health authorities. So, you know, you have conservatives who are rightfully outraged by this. And some liberals who are outraged by the fact that you're not allowed to talk about what is really happening, inform people so they can have informed consent. But, you know, it's funny to me that conservatives last year, 2 years ago, were not rightfully outraged about this.
They have to get the shot. The vaccinations are so...
Yeah, that's where it all began. That was when they were taking away religious and medical exemptions when he did that. They were taking away free speech while he was president, and he did nothing. It's amazing to me how they've got everybody fighting over this mafia billionaire this this puppet up there. Everybody loves him or hates him, and they're all fighting about that. He's a distraction. He's professional wrestling. He's helping them to get along. Everything moved along just fine at that stage. They had him for that stage. And they're still using him to keep people from focusing on the issue, the worldwide dictatorship. And the free speech aspect of this is vital to that. YouTube explicitly bans claims that vaccines contain fetal tissue or fetal cell lines, including hepatitis A, rubella, chickenpox, that are actually, as RT points out, they're actually manufactured using cell lines that started in aborted fetal tissue, although the individual doses do not contain any of this tissue. So what? So what? What difference does that make? If they are using the aborted babies to develop this, and this goes way beyond the fetal cell lines now, we have hard data showing that Fauci's NIH, that the FDA, were engaged in murder for hire. The initial contracts for baby organs, fresh, not frozen. Half the time, the way they deliver the babies are alive as they're cutting the organs out. You heard the testimony I've played for you in these trials of someone who was at one of the Planned Parenthood facilities, said, well, no, we take them out, they're dead, they're all cut up, but the heart is still beating. This kind of heinous cannibalism is far worse than a fetal cell line that's been going on for since the 1960s. Far worse. That is the depravity of this industry that is there, that I'm not going to participate in. And so, I don't know, when you look at this, I don't know why there's not more outrage by conservatives about this from the very beginning. They get upset about the speech being taken away. Let me tell you, one of the things that they, for the most part, I believe that this is really still to cover for these novel Trump shots. But here's another thing they don't want you saying. Autism cases skyrocket by 787% in just 20 years, shows a study out of the UK. Between 1998 and 2018, autism diagnoses across the United Kingdom have skyrocketed by 787%, nearly 800%. In total, 65,665 people received an autism diagnosis in 2018. Moreover, doctors are noting signs of autism in patients at older ages. The team says that part of this is likely because diagnosing autism in younger children is a more complex process. It's just a coincidence, isn't it? It's just a coincidence when young people drop dead from heart attacks that are perfectly healthy. It's just a coincidence when we have a spike of autism that goes up by 800%. But thou shalt not speak evil of the pharmaceutical industry that is obsessively protected by our government and by its handmaids, Google and others. A wide range of forbidden topics, they said, around coronavirus. These include videos that encourage home remedies, content claiming that masks do not play a role in preventing the contraction or transmission of COVID-19. They don't, obviously, as you know. And content that recommends the use of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine for the prevention of COVID-19. So you will never find me on Google. It has gotten so pervasive, so widespread, and so quick to respond, there's no point in even setting up a channel on YouTube anymore. Not for this stuff. Not for news. That matters. You know, I could do entertainment stuff. We've got a lot of people who, interestingly enough, have YouTube channels who people think of as alternative media or whatever that are talking about what's going on. They seem to be able to play around all this by avoiding the central issue. There's a lot of things I could talk about if I didn't want to talk about the issue. The issue. And I just have to say, when somebody says you're not allowed to talk about this, that's going to be the thing that I want to look at, because that's the vital thing to them that they're covering up. That tells you there's a crime, there's a cover-up, and that it's important to them. I have to do a deposition next week, so I'm going to be asking people, send me some of your Ask Me Anything questions, because I'll be going to a deposition for the Sandy Hook trial, because I was the one who brought in Wolfgang Halbig. To me, when the government said, you will not talk about this, you will not ask any questions, it's like, let's get him on. And I interviewed him the first couple of times till Alex took over and did some other things. I'm not a party to the lawsuit, but they'll be asking me anything. So you can ask me anything, and I'll pre-record the show on that day that I have to do it. It's going to be all day that they're going to be asking me questions, so it's going to be pretty detailed, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully, since I don't really recall anything about that except that I had brought him there, maybe it'll be very short. I just sat there and rocked back and forth like Bill Gates. I don't recall. I honestly don't recall. And, of course, all of my stuff has been conveniently wiped out by Alex as well. Gagged Australian nurses have formed a whistleblower group to expose what really happened in hospitals with COVID-19 vaccine injuries. And they had to put this up, of course, on Telegram. I have to get on Telegram even though I'm on BitChute, I'm on Twitter for the time being. I don't know how much longer that's going to last. I'm surprised that it's been years now and I'm there. But anyway, I haven't pulled any punches on Twitter. I just say what I typically say. Still there. But, there's Twitter and Gab is where I am on social media. But I do need to get onto a Telegram because that's where everybody seems to be headed. But you can also find me, of course, on BitChute. You can find me on Odyssey, on UGETube, UGETube. It's a great pun, but stands for Utah Gun Exchange. And you can also find me on Rumble, but it's hard to find me on Rumble since I can't use my name there. Alex camped out on that channel. So Rumble, I don't really do too much with that. Most people don't find me there. But you can also find us on the podcasts as well. So it'd be good to be in the bigger market, but I think a lot of people are moving away from YouTube just because it's nothing but fluff garbage anymore. Those with rheumatoid arthritis who have been jabbed are experiencing related consistency of flare-ups, write some of these nurses. As a matter of fact, this is a story on Vaccine Impact where they have collected a lot of the comments of these nurses on Telegram who are exchanging what they're seeing. Since you're not allowed to hear that on mainstream media, since the conservative press is more interested in election recounts for Trump nearly a year after all this nonsense, they're still focused on that. They're focused on the border that he never did anything to protect and trying to make that into a political issue. And so they're not going to cover this. As a matter of fact, Breitbart's become a big cheerleader of the vaccines. They don't like mandates, but they love the vaccines because that's where Trump is, right? Trump says he doesn't want mandates, but he loves the vaccine, so get the vaccine. Anyway, on Telegram, and you'll find a lot of these on Vaccine Impact, they're saying rheumatoid arthritis is showing flare-ups, all sorts of skin infections, no obvious reason. They're having constant medication reviews, increasing analgesia. Three times the number of clients with healing venous ulcers all had the jab. 3 weeks later, they all developed septicemia, all with hard-to-treat bacteria. Another one says, those with cardiac conditions who were clinically stable on medication for years suddenly are no longer stable. They have arrhythmias, unstable blood pressure. They have increased hospitalization. Another one says, as far as cancers, seeing a massive increase in skin cancers, they're growing very quickly and aggressively. And by the way, this is what Dr. Ryan Cole, the pathologist, said a couple of months ago with the frontline doctors. As he was giving his presentation, he's a pathologist, and he said, I'm seeing a tremendous increase in cancers, and he has the reason that he believes is because this is affecting the killer T cells. He says, I'm seeing them go faster, and especially melanomas and young people who've been vaccinated. And finally, they say, this nurse says, cognition. Clients who have been vaxxed and predisposed to some memory issues are increasing episodic bouts of confusion with accompanying amnesia and increasing STML. So when we go back to the censorship, YouTube has banned now the channel for RFK Jr. and Dr. Mercola. They're bragging about the fact that they've removed over 130,000 videos for violating COVID-19 vaccine policy. Three of those are mine. So we're going to ban you for telling the truth, says Information Liberation. That's what they're really saying. If you're one of the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans who've been injured by these vaccines, we'll also ban you for telling your story in a way that we don't like. And Chris Minahan says at Information Liberation, he said, as I reported last year, YouTube's rules are so broad that they now ban the majority of Americans from expressing their views. Because typically, all you see, and I don't have a screenshot of it here, but Stephen Colbert is, as he points out, this is a kind of vaccine-related content that will be allowed on YouTube. Stephen Colbert has got his little skits that he calls the Vax-Scene, S-C-E-N-E, V-A-X-S-C-E-N-E. And that's where he does his little dancing hypodermic needles and chants, you know, Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson. I wonder how much he gets paid for those commercial spots. I know he gets paid millions just to do that garbage. But this latest one that is going around, and one person tweeted this out and said, you really start to understand God visiting his judgment on a nation when you see this. And it's him dancing, and he's got four or five individuals, three of them men. They're dressed up like you would see rockettes and miniskirts and high heels. Yeah, the men. One of them with beards. And then they got little pointy things on their heads like a needle or something like that. I mean, this is the kind of disgusting stuff you would see out of the Hunger Games. Right? Looks like one of these shows on the Hunger Games. The idiocracy. The decadence. The campiness. The things that are always the handmaids of tyranny. Yeah, go back and look at the Weimar Republic. Look at how corrupt that was as the Nazis were coming to power. That's where we are right now. And one person, as I tweeted this out with that comment, you really start to understand God visiting his judgment on a nation. He got about 1,600 retweets in a couple of days. And one person replied and said, well, it's Stephen Colbert. It's a satire news show. Are you people for real? It's a skit on a show. Well, that's very effective. It's very effective. And, you know, you might want to go back and look at the history of advertising. As one person says, well, the frightening thing about this is that it works on most people. Why do you have all these different things about putting a tiger in your tank? Or you got Mr. Clean who's going to clean your house. Or, you know, when you take a bite of butter, you know, you get a crown on your head. Remember all that stuff? Or margarine or whatever it was. Or you got the Jolly Green Giant. They do that kind of stuff, and everybody looks at this and they go, how stupid is this? Who's fooled by this? Well, you are. Because it's just the constant impression, right? And even being over the top has a very valuable effect for them. This is how they have streamlined this. Madison Avenue, Edward Bernays, these people who began by having very crude propaganda that lied us into World War I, they refined that. And part of the refinement is to make it satire comedy, to have these little images there. That is exactly what this is about. I imagine he's got a lot of money, as does YouTube. I know YouTube is getting a lot of money for putting these videos out there that are cheering the vaccine. Don't tell me that they're not getting a big chunk of that $250 million ad council campaign that Trump put out there. And I'm sure there's more from Biden. So at the same time, they're shutting everything down. They have these people in their 20s who have a YouTube channel, and they're interviewing Fauci with softball questions and giggling about how smart he is and how he's Mr. Science. And they feature those on the homepage of YouTube when you go there. I go there just to see that. I know that they're going to feature. They don't do that for me because I am looking for that. It's just a rotating thing they put up there for COVID all the time. And I went there looking for music. Instead, they start pushing this stuff. So I start looking at that to see what they're propagandizing. The only time they show anybody pushing back against this, I was surprised to see they had a video up the other day that showed people protesting. And they look at it, and they found a protest where there were maybe a dozen people, and they weren't articulate, they didn't look good, so it looked like a disorganized, uninformed mob, and that was why they were showing that particular one. Otherwise, they would not. You would never see them putting up stuff about massive protests in other countries. Facebook banned misinformation on all vaccines 7 months ago, writes MSN. Though the pages of both Mercola and Kennedy remain up on the social media site, and their Twitter accounts are active too, so they're pushing to try to get them taken off. This is what MSN is doing. Microsoft News is doing this to try to get them taken off. We've seen this tactic over and over again. RFK Jr. said, quote, "There is no instance in history where censorship and secrecy have advanced either democracy or public health. Censorship and secrecy are not in the interest of health. They're not in the interest of democracy. More importantly, they're not in the interest of liberty. Because liberty does serve both good government and public health. And we don't have a democracy. We have a republic for that reason, to protect our individual liberties from the mob. But now the mob has become informants and an enforcement mob for the government." Also, MSN says continues to say over and over again in this one article, listen to what they, "The vaccines have been proved to be overwhelmingly safe as rebuttal to JFK or RFK. They also say all of the government-approved coronaviruses have gone through rigorous testing and have been scientifically proven to be highly effective and safe. Is this a commercial or is this journalism?" Oh, you know what it is. That's a rhetorical question. More than a year after YouTube said it would take down misinformation about coronavirus vaccines, the accounts of 6 out of the 12 anti-vaccine activists identified by the nonprofit, the Center for Countering Digital Hate, are still up in various places on social media. So let me ask you this. What does the Center for Countering Digital Hate have to do with people talking about the debating the efficacy of medicine, or how effective lockdown and public health policies are? Why is that hateful? Because it was never about hate, of course. It was about getting rid of speech that they hate, political views that they hate, science that they hate. They said wellness influencers are fueling the anti-vaccine movement. Sometimes their labels backfire on them, right? They're going to start talking about the wellness influencers. That's kind of like trying to attack those of us who are questioning the lies around 9/11 by calling us truthers. So that would make these people, like Microsoft News, the establishment, that would make them liars. And so if you're going to criticize these people as part of the wellness industry, I guess that makes them part of the sickness industry. And they are sick. They will make you sick, but they're mentally sick. Jonathan Turley says, rather than rebutting or refuting claims made by others, they seek to silence those with opposing views. That is the essence of censorship, isn't it? And that is the essence of this authoritarian, dictatorial world that we now live in all of these countries. And it's coming from America. It's coming from these American multinational corporations. It's coming from the American Central Intelligence Agency, the NSA, if you want to call it the deep state. I don't like that term because it's too vague and it's too Trumpish. It is much, you want to talk about the deep state when Trump is putting Gina Haspel, the torture in chief, the cover-up artist, he puts her in charge of the CIA? No, that's, deep state is a good way to describe it except because of that connotation. No, it's not Trump versus the deep state. And I don't like to use that term anymore, because it helps to feed that Hegelian dialectic. You know, we got Trump. You don't like him. Well, look at the other guys. They're even worse. Thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Free speech advocates are facing a generational shift, says Jonathan Turley. And he's been writing about this a lot because he's very concerned about what's going on in the journalism schools, what's going on in the law schools, the fact that there is open contempt for the principles of free speech. And this is why you have YouTube now doing it openly. This is why these things are now being done openly that were done in secret. This is nothing new. This, for a decade, we're being shadow banned. Then they did it explicitly. And now they do it without even trying to deny it. Jack Dorsey, Twitter, apologized in Senate hearings for censoring the Hunter Biden laptop story. But then he pledged to censor more people in defense of, quote-unquote, election integrity, writes Jonathan Turley. You had Delaware Senator Chris Coons was not happy about that. He was upset, not by the promised censorship, but that it wasn't going to be broad enough. He said the pandemic and the misinformation about COVID-19, manipulated media, could also cause harm, but I would urge you to reconsider because helping to disseminate climate denialism, in my view, further facilitates and accelerates one of the greatest existential threats to our world. So Chris Coons says, well, you know, that election stuff is one thing. But, you know, what we really need to focus on is the pandemic and climate change, because that's really the central issue. That's why I focus on it. That's why they want it shut down. Because that is the issue. Both of those things are ushering in. They are vital to the agenda of the Great Reset and globalism. Richard Blumenthal, Democrat senator from Connecticut, warned that he and his colleagues would not tolerate any backsliding or retrenching by failing to take action against dangerous disinformation. And these people are cheering it on. So when we look at what YouTube has done this week, before they did this, they started removing videos by a Vladimir Putin critic, Alexei Navalny. And he is now, he returned to, to Russia. They put him in prison. And so the Russian government wanted this removed. And so as YouTube's CEO, Susan Wojcicki, is talking at a conference, she's talking about how, she said, one of the things that's important to us at YouTube is the fact that we do enable so many voices. See, they enable voices. They don't censor voices. They enable them, she says. And we do enable people to express themselves and to really celebrate the freedom of speech. That is a core value of ours. Well, I tell you, this is Orwellian lies and doublespeak, isn't it? If ever there was. But then she adds this caveat. But when we work with governments, dot, dot, dot. Doesn't really matter what she says after that, because that's the key thing. That's the money quote. But when we work with governments, I've been saying for the longest time that they've been working with governments. As a matter of fact, they were created by governments to do precisely this. They were created by the surveillance state to do exactly this. That's why I prefer that term over the deep state. They were created by the surveillance state to do precisely this. They were one of the chosen competitors in the race. They've won the race. They now have the monopoly. And they work with government. So last week, the Russian news service Interfax reported that Vladimir Putin's regime had ordered YouTube's parent company Google and Apple to remove access to a voting app run by jailed opposition activist Alexei Navalny. The app disappeared from both of the app stores, sparking criticism among both the public and Google's own employees. So, in that context, and after that happened, she had the audacity to say that free speech remained a core value there. So, Navalny commented and said he was surprised how obediently the almighty big tech had acted as Putin's accomplices in censoring him. Then, after they did that, they censored Russia. So, they censor a Russian critic. And then they go to Germany because the German government and the German media is concerned about RT in Germany. And so to comply with the German government, they get rid of RT, which had moved up very rapidly into fourth place in Germany. RT Deutsch had over 600,000 subscribers and was approaching 600 million total views, according to Russian media reports. So it was suddenly blocked, and they had two channels, two German RT channels. It was blocked by YouTube. And so what is the pattern that we see happening here? Well, to operate in Russia, they ban Putin critics. To operate in Germany, they ban people who are giving a different opinion that challenge the German establishment. The German government says, we didn't tell them to do that. Now, it just happens to be in our interest, but, you know, the German government was quick to distance themselves. They said, these were not implemented by the German government. That's right, because YouTube is a handmaid of all of these governments. So if in Russia they ban Russian critics, in Germany they ban German critics, what does it tell you about our government when in America they ban big pharmaceutical companies? And not just in America, worldwide. What does that tell you about world governance? That the most important thing for world governance is this vaccine. That is the central issue. It has always been the issue. They have been training and preparing for this even before 9/11. It was part of 9/11. It was the second shoe to drop. This is the central thing, the vaccine. It is the key to a global ID. It is the key to control everything that you do. The vaccine and the vaccine mandates are the key to shutting down the economy and taking everything from us. It is the key to instituting their alien dreadnought factories that have no humans working in them, or virtually no humans working in them, so they can put us all on a universal basic income. And they can say, well, we had to do it because of the virus. Or we had to do it because you wouldn't take the jab. It is the central issue. And how are they pushing this out? By control of the First Amendment. By keeping you misinformed, uninformed. And they are the handmaids of government. So this tells you, folks, that global governance is coming through the technocratic multinational corporations, and its center is the vaccine. It's just that simple. On Wednesday, a Russian court moved to take concrete action against Google for the Germany ban. They slapped it with a 6.5 million ruble fine. I don't know what that is for dollars. For not deleting prohibited content, but they said the fine is not a big one, especially for Google. It is seen largely as a symbolic act, portending more punitive action to come. And the punitive action is that Russia is saying they could ban YouTube from operating in their country. Frankly, I'd like to see that happen. An act of unprecedented information aggression, they said. Obvious manifestation of censorship and suppression of freedom of expression. Why? Because YouTube is the public square, the digital public square. YouTube and the social media companies are the digital public square. And it is a worldwide public square. As you can see, they're making very important moves in Russia, in Germany, and other places. And again, this goes back to the principle that was recognized when we had a more honest government, 1946, Marsh versus Alabama. You had a Jehovah's Witness that was handing out material in a company town. The company, the coal company, owned that town. You load 16 tons, and what do you get, right? Well, you get censorship in the public square. They said, we own the public square. Get out of here. So the person took it all the way to the Supreme Court and won because the Supreme Court said at the time, and they were right, they said the public square, even if it is privately owned, is important to free speech, and we're going to make sure that government protects free speech. We don't have anybody, yet not anybody in government or media that really wants to protect free speech anymore that will do that. That was the Supreme Court in 1946. Germany said adopting reciprocal measures against the German media in Russia, which, by the way, has been repeatedly shown to have interfered in our country's internal affairs, seems not only appropriate but necessary. So do you understand? They're saying, you reverse that banning of RT in Germany, or two things are going to happen. Number one, we're going to ban YouTube. And number two, we're going to ban German media in Russia. Why? Because they understand that this is not just coming from YouTube. YouTube is acting as an agent for the government. This is something we cannot get through the heads of most of the people here in America, especially the people who are the the influencers, the think tanks for conservatives and for libertarians. I've said for the longest time that these Silicon Valley social media companies and YouTube and Google, they are the velvet glove covering the iron fist of tyranny. That's what they are. RT, an editor-in-chief, says no sane person believes that there's any freedom of speech in the West. Before the removal of our channels, German media has been publishing very scary stories about German language RT getting way too influential, way too big. According to their own estimates, we're in fourth place in terms of influence in Germany. And so this is a concerted campaign between the people, the press in Germany that sells the government narrative, right? As they do in every country, they become the handmaids. But it's also important for YouTube and these technocrats to be the handmaids of that as well. You know, when we talk about this last week, I didn't get into it, but John Stossel, and I agree with most of the things that John Stossel says, coming from a libertarian perspective, and he has criticized quite a bit the censorship that is coming from these Silicon Valley companies, and to the extent that he's now going to lawsuit against Facebook, saying that they have damaged his reputation by saying that he's fake news and misrepresenting what he's having to say and so forth, and censorship and things like that. But mainly it's the damage that they've done. Because when he talks about censorship, and I don't know if he's changed his position. I couldn't see that he had changed his position. It was really more about how they had slandered him, I think. But the thing about John Stossel, just like Reason Magazine, just like the Cato Institute, just like the Heritage Foundation, the biggest conservative think tank, all of them take the approach, well, we really hate this censorship. Yeah, this is really despicable. But they have the right to do it, and we're going to defend their right to do it. When you stop and think about that, isn't that exactly the antithesis of Voltaire? Right? Voltaire, for the longest time, what he had to say about free speech was summarized by saying, I may despise what you have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Now, what the conservatives and the libertarians are saying is, I despise your censorship, but I will defend to the death your right to censor. That's exactly what they're saying. It's really absurd, isn't it? But this is where we are. We have a world that's been turned upside down. Our principles have been turned inside out to say, I object to their censorship. And this is the line coming from Heritage, coming from Cato, Reason, from John Stossel. I hate what you're doing. It's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. But I'm going to defend your right to do that. I do not defend evil under any circumstances. And we understand that government's purpose was to defend our God-given rights. They're not government-granted privileges. And our God-given rights are not subject to be taken away from us by a big corporation. Any more than they can come in and haul off my car if I don't owe them any money. And I don't owe them any explanation for what I believe or say. These companies. So if you want to know where this is headed or where it's coming from, again, it is coming not from the deep state. It's coming from the surveillance state, the CIA, the people who have always run Operation Mockingbird, right? They've always been involved in propaganda, whether it was DARPA, NSA, CIA, all these different alphabet intelligence agencies. Everything that they've been focused on was about manipulating opinion. Even when you had General McRaven, at a special forces a few years ago when he said, we have to get back to our roots. People think, when they think of special forces and SEALs, and I think they think about kinetic operations, right? They're thinking Rambo. You know, these guys are jumping out of helicopters and doing all kinds of crazy physical stuff, and they do. And it is a grueling thing. But he says, you have to understand special forces, Green Beret, that type of thing. We were essentially a psychological operation. Our purpose was really to go into a country and to identify where the pockets of resistance to us were going to be by running psychological operations. We could put things out, watch people's reactions, and based on their reactions, we could identify our opposition. So then we could do the kinetic actions. And that's what they're doing on social media. That's the whole purpose of social media. That's why social media was funded with venture capital from the CIA and these other surveillance state agencies, because they wanted to be able to do that much more easily. And by participating in social media, you have unwittingly created a dossier on yourself and your political views. I'm not suggesting that you be silent. I'm not silent about it. I'm defiant about it. But they're using it for that purpose. And they're using it to fine-tune their propaganda, as we'll see. The WikiLeaks editor-in-chief was talking to RT about the alleged CIA plans to kidnap and kill Assange. He said it shows that these U.S. agencies are willing to go, the links that they're willing to go to crack down on journalists. And he said that it shows how far they will go to attack press freedom. And that's exactly right. He talked about the CIA's efforts to craft a new definition for journalists, calling them hostile agents, which he said was basically a license to kill. And they have now applied that to Glenn Greenwald, to Laura Poitras, and others who were part of the Snowden leaks. He said Director Mike Pompeo designated WikiLeaks a non-state hostile intelligence service so as to allow the agency to conduct offensive counterintelligence activities on the group. He said it's a chilling read for every journalist and individual who cares about press freedom to see the report that has come out as to what happened on the inside. He said, very much in line with previous attempts to use the legal structure and to redefine outrageous activity and to call it something else. We all know that torture wasn't called torture, and it was okay if it was called enhanced interrogation techniques, things of that nature. And this is part of the mindset. And it's part of what Mike Pompeo said. You know, he came here to Texas A&M. We said to a conservative audience there. He said, you know, West Point, we were told you don't lie, cheat, steal. We don't tolerate people do. He said, CIA, we lie, we cheat, we steal. And we have classes on how to do that. And he laughed, and the audience thought that was the funniest thing. I think they're despicable. I despise the CIA like I despise Fauci. They're one and the same. They're one and the same. They use the same tactics. The core WikiLeaks members were under extensive surveillance in all aspects, he said. Claimed the area around the embassy was the most surveilled part of the world with spies and cameras in every building. He added that the group suspected something fishy was going on with even within the agency. He said they found out revelations from criminal proceedings in Spain against the security firm UC Global SL. They were contracted to safeguard the embassy, but they were bribed by the CIA to spy on Assange. They planted cameras and other devices there to watch him. And then he said this in summary. He said, if Julian is extradited to the U.S., he will be in the hands of the CIA to decide whether he will be put under special administrative measures, which is another word for torture and isolation and horrible prison conditions. His fate would be in the hands of those who are planning to kidnap and to kill him. That should be reason enough not to extradite him. As a matter of fact, I got a very troubling letter from Marty Gottesfeld's wife, Dana. I've interviewed her several times. He was convicted of bringing attention to a medical kidnapping case. It used to be that it only happened in isolated instances, but now we're having a lot of people being medically kidnapped as part of this COVID situation. But it was a young girl who was kidnapped by Boston's Children's Hospital, which is allied with Harvard. And Harvard goes hard after anybody that opposes them. During a fundraiser, he brought attention to what was happening, and they eventually got her. The parents were able to get her away from the hospital. They were killing her. They sent him to jail, and they put him in a communications management unit. We have two of these types of prisons in the United States, and they're building a third one. That is where they would put Julian Assange before they kill him. Conditions there are unbelievably harsh. You have people like Marty Gottesfeld. You have people like Schaefer Cox are there. They have some terrorists there as well. But it's a place where they put the political prisoners because they want them held unable to communicate with other people. They put them in prison so they can't communicate, and they put them in the CMU so they can't communicate at all. That would be where they would put Julian Assange. And the troubling information from Dana is that because of some information that he was able to get to the outside, and because it was reported, they're taking action against him. She can't find out anything at all about what's going on with her husband in the prison. This is America. This is America. We got two of these prisons. They're building a third one. Military leaders in Canada saw the pandemic as a unique opportunity to test propaganda on Canadians, writes the National Post. A plan devised by the Canadian Joint Operations Command. It's interesting. When you look at these, I believe the Joint Operations Command is like the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The people in the United States who plotted to do Operation Northwoods to stage the types of things that you saw happen on 9/11. Flying planes into buildings, doing terrorist attacks, pretending that a plane had exploded, been shot down over Cuba so they could go to war with Cuba and attack Cuba. Kennedy fired the guy who was head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who proposed Operation Northwoods. He went to Europe. He staged Operation Gladio, where it was supposedly a Marxist terrorist attacks on a lot of state officials as well as industry officials, shooting them, kneecapping them, kidnapping Prime Minister of Italy, Aldo Moro, ultimately executing him. That was being done, actually, by NATO agents posing as communists. That was eventually revealed in investigations. And that was run by the guy that wanted to do Operation Northwoods. Anyway, going to Canada's Joint Operations Command, I'm sure it's all different. Yeah. Canadian military leaders saw the pandemic as a unique opportunity to test out propaganda techniques on an unsuspecting public. I think that's what all of our governments were doing. This is a newly released Canadian Forces report. They said the cabinet and the federal government did not authorize the initiative. Mr. Phelps, if you or any of your IMF team are caught or captured, we will disavow any knowledge of you propagandizing the public to push this pandemic. And that's where these guys are. They've been caught. They're being left to hang, left out to dry, right, by the political and military other leaders. Military commanders believe that they didn't need to get approval from higher authorities to develop and to proceed with their plan, you know, because after all, they're a Five Eyes country. They're part of the CIA, the British intelligence. You got Canada, Australia, New Zealand. Yeah, they're all conspiring together. The propaganda plan was developed and put in place in April of 2020, even though the Canadian forces had already acknowledged that, quote, information operations and targeting policies and doctrines are aimed at adversaries, and they have a limited application in a domestic concept. You know, kind of like we have the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. We don't do that to Americans. No. We only do that to foreigners. Well, we practice on foreigners so that we can do it to Americans or domestic people. And on December the 2nd, 2020, an investigation found these documents using the Access to Information Law, which would be the Canadian equivalent to our Freedom of Information Act. They said the plan was devised by the Canadian Joint Operations Command. They relied on propaganda techniques similar to those employed during the Afghanistan War. See, the instruments of quote-unquote defense abroad become instruments of tyranny at home, and that includes information war. Propaganda. The campaign called for shaping and for exploiting information. That's their terms, shaping and exploiting it. They said the plan wasn't simply the idea of a passionate military propaganda specialist, but support for the use of such information operations is clearly a mindset that permeated the thinking at many levels of the CJOC. Those in command saw the pandemic as a unique opportunity to test out such techniques on Canadians. And so this is an opportunity to monitor and to collect public information in order to enhance awareness for better command decision-making. So they look at what is being done on social media, and they're able to very quickly, as I've said many times before, you know, you look at how propaganda has proceeded. For centuries, we only had the printing press, and it was done through newspapers, and they would be the propagandists for the government. Then in the 20th century, you had radio, followed up by television. Television added another dimension to the, you know, radio added more of a visceral content to that propaganda, made it more immediate, would grab your attention more. It's more dramatic. And then the visuals took it to another level. But the problem they had, even with television, was the fact that they didn't really have a way to close the loop and to see how well the propaganda was working. So they would use polls, which are not exactly as where they wanted to be. What the internet has allowed them to do is not only control and push the narrative and to do it very quickly, but they can also, with algorithms, they can determine exactly how the public is reacting to it. So they've closed the loop on that propaganda system. It was getting bigger and louder and better, but it was an open-loop system. They were able to close the loop so they could fine-tune the propaganda, and that's exactly what they're doing. We're going to enhance, and we're going to collect public information to enhance our awareness to help us to understand how to manipulate you better the next time. Others inside headquarters worried that such operations could lead to abuses, including having military staff intentionally mislead the Canadian public. Did that happen last year? Whoa, of course not, right? We're taking measures to target opposition political parties. Did that happen last year? Of course not. Or anybody who criticizes the government or the military policy, you know, those right-wing extremist domestic terrorists, it could be used against that, you think? Yet another review centered on the Canadian Forces Public Affairs Branch. Last year, the branch launched a controversial plan that would have allowed military public affairs officers to use propaganda to change attitudes and change behavior of Canadians, as well as to collect and analyze information from public social media accounts. That's how they do it, through the social media accounts. As a matter of fact, they say use of friendly analysts and retired generals to push military PR messages, public relation messages, in order to criticize on social media those who raised questions about military spending and accountability. This is just very rudimentary, entry-level propaganda. These people are amateurs, if that's all they were doing. Amateurs. You know, they had, at the beginning of this pandemic, you had hundreds of thousands of robots, bots, social media bots, in China, that were hectoring and hammering people in Italy, especially the politicians. You know, lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. You see what's happening in China? You got to do that. And they succumbed to that. And then that started the snowballing effect. Look, it's not just China, but now it's Italy. Remember when that happened? And then subsequent to that, they found, they admitted that there were over 150,000 bots, China bots, that had done that. They took them off, but the damage had been done. Canadian forces also spent more than $1 million to train public affairs officers on behavior modification techniques. Yeah, that's all just small-time stuff. So, the media is outraged. Why? In this particular article here, they got very upset. They said it was Cambridge Analytica, and that's connected with Trump. And so then they start to pull this back into the left-right paradigm. And they say, this is outrageous because this is Trump. And this was also used to spy on BLM, Black Lives Matter, in Canada. How reprehensible that these right-wing conservative military guys are using this to push for more military spending and to expose stuff about BLM. Now, let me just say to you, if there's anything in you that rises up and says, good, good, that we're using it against BLM, if anything rises up in you to say that, then you are no different from the left, which will sell out free speech, which is perfectly fine about using propaganda if the means justifies the end that they want to get. Never accept this. Never accept this type of stuff. Now, one more thing, and then we're going to take a break because I've been going on here for about an hour. Dismissing religious objections to taking the COVID vaccine flies in the face of the principles the United States was founded on. There's a reason why these things are in the First Amendment. This is coming from RT, reminding us of what our values were. RT is a Russian publication, and they carry water for the Russian government. They'll lie to you about the Russian government, but they'll tell you the truth about your own government. That's why Germany doesn't like them. That's why the U.S. and the U.K. don't like them, because they'll tell you the truth about your own government. So, as they pointed out, this Hochul, the new governor in New York, would not be the first politician with a God complex, but she's taking it to another level, and she's talking about all this "you are my apostle" stuff. I covered that the other day. But she said also there are not legitimate religious exemptions, she said, because the leaders of all the organized religions have said that there is no legitimate reason. Well, I don't know who the leader of your religion is. I don't look for guidance to the Pope or to Franklin Graham or to Al Mohler or to any of these people. Jesus is the leader of my religion. And, you know, he had a lot to say about the corrupt religious leaders of his day, didn't he? A lot to say about these people because they'd sold out. They'd sold out for political power. The LA Times went on to say that religious exemptions should be dumped altogether. Just like free speech, we've got to get rid of the free exercise of religion now in America and in the West. The LA Times said, quote, "Religious exemptions don't protect the public. And when it comes to COVID-19, public health must remain the overriding priority." To which I would add, what is implicit in that is that we will decide what public health is. We will speak for the public's interest, and you will shut up. Let me tell you that freedom of religion does protect the public. It protects the public from the worst kind of oppression that we've seen. And as they correctly point out in RT, America was founded on the desire to have the free exercise of religion. What they don't say here is that that was the basis of God blessing our country, that we would see that we were a nation that was under God, that authority flows from him, that anybody who is out of the authority of God, anybody that rebels against the authority of God, no longer has authority. And of course, they're also rebelling against the Constitution, because the Constitution has that there. That is also what they appeal to for their authority. Whether or not they believe in God, they swear to uphold the Constitution. They go on to say that even though you kind of expect this out of New York, right? Even though you expect this out of New York, they said you can see this in Republican-held Texas. Let me say one more thing here I wanted to mention that's in the article here. They said the COVID vaccination, this is their commentary at RT, the COVID vaccination is in no way a panacea to the pandemic. And for the LA Times to suggest otherwise as a rationale for rejecting religious exemptions is a journalistic sin. Well, I just have to say, even if it were 100% safe and 100% effective, there would still be absolutely no reason to put this vaccine above God. If you go back in history and you look at the martyrs, that's the Greek word for witness. These people were witnesses to what had happened with Christ and the apostles and the early church. And there was a government that had a 100% safe and effective program for them to extend their life. You just had to violate your conscience. 100% safe, 100% approved, 100% effective, and it is approved by government. There you go. It's like a commercial, right? And that is to denounce what you know is true. Denounced what you witnessed. And they said no. And so if I'm presented with a vaccine that is the product of cannibal medicine and somebody tells me that it's 100% safe and effective, maybe it is. I don't care. Doesn't matter. But in Texas, Republican-led Texas, and of course this is coming out of Dallas. Dallas is very liberal. Texas is turning into California. A lot of people fleeing from California coming here. And if you look at Dallas, Dallas has been gone for a long, long time. And so they say that this is a conservative Dallas-based talk show host, Mark Davis. I don't know who this guy is, but here's a quote from him. He tweeted this out. He said, "No matter how you feel about religious exemptions, if you say, well, I prayed about it, that's not one," he said. "My body is my temple is not one, unless you've refused shots your whole life and you're not fat. If you don't want the shot, don't get it. But stop using God as a phony reason. This is a Dallas-based so-called conservative talk show host, Mark Davis. He has as much, if not more, contempt for God than this New York governor does. And more importantly, he has, you look at this guy from a political standpoint, he has nothing but contempt for religious freedom. I'm sure that he has contempt for free speech. I mean, if somebody is going to say that you don't have the right to make informed consent choices about your own body, and that's what we're talking about here. All that stuff about abortion, that was phony. That was another body. That was another body with a different DNA, many times a different blood type, half the time a different gender. So it wasn't your body that you were killing. But this is your body, no doubt about it. It is your body, it is your choice, and it is your religious freedom. And for me to say that I prayed about it, or I read something, and I believe this, and even if I am not in perfect condition, who is? Who is in perfect condition? And then they go on to say that Dallas megachurch pastor and Trump supporter Robert Jeffress told the AP in his view, quote, there is no credible religious argument against the vaccines. He said Christians who are troubled by the use of fetal cell lines for the testing of vaccines would also have to abstain, where have you heard this before, from the use of Tylenol, Pepto-Bismol, ibuprofen, and other products that the same cell lines were used in their sincere injection. Now, RT replies with what I first said when I just reported that. I said, look at this. This is crazy. This is what is being used to deny the religious exemptions in a particular hospital. They had a list of 30 of these things. And all of them but three were developed and in wide use before they even started using fetal cell lines in 1963. So that was an obvious lie in that story. But my first impression and the first impression of other people looking at this, I mean, because they talked about aspirin, they talked about a whole bunch of things. First impression was, well, thanks for bringing this to my attention. I'll stop using them. That's what RT said. They said, well, you know, he could have said that. Instead, they use this as a weapon. And, of course, it's a lie. A lie straight out of the pit of hell, repeated by Robert Jeffress. What do you expect from a megachurch pastor, quite frankly? These religious, organized religious leaders. It's not a coincidence, is it? It's nothing other than a lie. No, the reality is, as I said, you know, these are not just fetal cells that were collected back in 1963. These are babies' heads. They're organs that are being collected by our own government to do research, to create products for big pharmaceutical companies who then privatize the profits. This is a disgusting industry. And is being vigorously defended by YouTube and Google because it is the center of where all of this is. So when we look at this, finally, as religious efforts, as they point out correctly in the RT story, it was Patrick Henry who said, give me liberty or give me death. It was General John Stark who said, live free or die. Death is not the greatest of evils. So for these heroes of the American Revolution, and the Puritan and Pilgrim colonists before them, religious liberty was the very raison d'etre for their nation-building efforts. This is a country that was founded to provide religious liberty. The foundations of everything in this government, in this world right now, Western civilization, are being taken to the ground. And the question becomes, who is going to build them back? Do you want a country that is built on the foundation of the Word of God, or do you want one that's built on the foundation of Aldous Huxley and these transhumanists? We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
You know, we had we got an election coming up in Virginia. I asked Eric Peters about it yesterday. He goes, yeah, you got Terry McAuliffe. He's totally evil. He's one of the Clintonistas, always hanging with Bill and Hillary. He was head of the DNC with them. He's former governor of Virginia. The guy's horrible. So the Republican is kind of a Mitt Romney Republican is the way Eric Peters described it. And in a debate, we now have a couple of sound bites that came out of this. I want you to hear what Terry McAuliffe had to say in terms of parents and schools.
Veto books, Glenn. Not to be knowledge about it. Also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So... yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. But, you know, I get really tired.
Yeah, he doesn't think that parents should have any input in what schools should teach. You know, we took some books off the shelf that we thought were bad. But we'll make that decision. I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. Well, it was just a rare moment of candid honesty, wasn't it? Because that's where the schools have been for a very long time. You see this constant fight going on between critical race theory or whether or not kids are going to be vaccinated, whether or not they're going to be masked. As a matter of fact, I had a listener send this to me out of San Diego. Said, my friend is still living in San Diego, sent this to me. Unbelievable that parents still want to send their kids to these places. And it was a big organized rally. They had about 500 people, went to a rally in San Diego Unified School District meeting, protesting against vaccine mandates for children and for teachers. There were only three counter-protesters. But first they shut down in-person testimony, and then they went online. Then they shut down the public comments section online. Then, even though 1,600 people signed up to speak, they only allowed 1 hour of public comment, and they strategically allowed 10 people to speak in favor of and then 10 people to speak against. This is the same thing that we saw in California when Pan... this doctor who is a pharmaceutical shill there, was pushing to remove religious exemptions and medical exemptions for children for the MMR when Trump said, they got to get the shot. Same thing was happening in New York, and he was with them, right? Eliminate those exemptions. But they were stacking it as well because you had people who were furious. They were extending this, of course, to private schools even. Private religious schools. They're saying in private religious schools, you're not going to have any religious exemptions against these MMR vaccines or anything else, we tell you. We're going to get rid of any sincerely held religious beliefs. And so you had a lot of parents who were showing up protesting that, and they shut it down using these same types of tactics. And they ran it through because it was preparation for this. And so in San Diego, you know, they're shutting this down in every way. They're shutting down free speech. They're shutting down. They don't want people meeting. And even if they allow you to meet, they will find other ways to shut down the meeting. So you have in this debate between the Romney Republican and the Clinton Democrat, he says, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decisions, quote unquote, and make their own decisions. See, it takes a village to raise a child, as Hillary said over and over again. He believes this. This guy is a Clintonista. Dyed-in-the-wool Clintonista. The reality is all radical leftists think like this, said one individual commenting on it, Sean Parnell, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. He said they believe they know what's best for you and your children, and they want total government control over every aspect of your life. So the solution is don't give it to them. But if you think that his comments were taken out of context, here's another interview where he was asked point-blank what he thought about parent involvement in what their kids were taught.
Do you think parents should have a say in the curriculum?
Listen, we have a board of ed working with the local school boards to determine the curriculum for our schools. You don't want parents coming in every different school jurisdiction.
Exactly. Yeah, we have a federal Department of Education, even. And both the Republicans and Democrats agree that you want them to create a common core. Bill Gates agrees with that as well. You want them to dumb down our kids. You want them to give them a, you want them to decide everything that they're going to teach them. Take over their mind, destroy their mind, destroy their soul, and now, of course, with the vaccines and the masks, destroy their bodies as well. He went on to say this. This is another quote from him. We do not co-parent with the government, he said. All right, I'm sorry. This is somebody who is pushing back against it. Said, we do not co-parent with the government. So he doesn't even want parents. As the Democrats have made it very clear, it takes a village, people. You got to get rid of this idea that the kids belong to you, said Melissa Harris Perry in a PSA for CNBC. But anyway, he says, I'm not going to let parents come into the schools and actually take books out and make their own decisions, he said. The problem is that when you take your kids to the school, they have a longstanding doctrine called in loco parentis. And again, going back to, it was the late 1980s, I think, and it was about a sex education class for an eight-year-old, and it was heterosexual sex. There was nothing, no drag queens in this. There was no transgender gaslighting going on in this. But the father said, I don't think that's age appropriate for my eight-year-old to be talking about this. I don't want him in the class. I said, well, we're going to do it anyway. So he went on that day to take his daughter out of that class, and they arrested him for trespassing. And when he went before the judge in Massachusetts upheld that and said, we have a doctrine. It's called in loco parentis, in place of the parents. When you take your child to the school and leave them, you have, and this is what the judge said, you've abandoned your child to the state. And will act in place of the parents. Virginia Fairfax County Public Schools recently forced to pull two books, one of them Gender Queer, another one Lawn Boy, after explicit material was revealed. A neighboring county has been the flashpoint, of course, for the CRT back and forth, and the defiance of the people in the schools, the teachers, saying, well, I don't care what they say. They can make this illegal, but we're still going to teach it. We'll find a way to teach it, and they will find a way to teach it. They will find a way to push this to your kids one way or the other if you take your child there and leave them. The intentional efforts made by certain elected officials, starting from the school board all the way up to the gubernatorial candidate like Terry McAuliffe, to silence and to shut out parents from their children's education and insert themselves as the government, as the primary educator, instead of the parents being the primary educator of the child, is appalling, said a former member of the Fairfax County School Board who has a child in middle school. Well, that is the way that it's going to operate. And the reality of this, and I talked about this last week, somebody had an op-ed piece, and it was exactly right. They said conservatism, in many cases, you know, middle class, Christians, and so forth, they are a big problem in terms of their mindset because they will not get rid of institutions. They cannot imagine, because of their conservative mindset, because they want to kind of keep the status quo, they can't imagine or can't remember a status quo ante, what it was like before the current status quo. And no matter how bad the institution is, they just don't want to get rid of it. And again, part of this, one of the reasons this is coming out of a lot of Christians is because the misapplication, the misunderstanding of passages like Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, which have become their proof texts for complete and total submission to government and don't touch anything. No, if it's evil, it needs to be altered or abolished. But as conservatives, we don't like to alter or abolish institutions, and that's a big problem, a big problem. Let me just say that parental control of schools has always, always been an illusion. It was an illusion to think you're going to take your kids somewhere and drop them off and you've got somehow control over that. You don't even know who these people are. All you know, you don't know who these parents are, these teachers are. My parents never knew anything about the teachers. except what I told them. But they didn't know who these people were that they dropped me off to be educated by. So you see this happening over and over again. The Youngkin, the Romney Republican, is making clear, he said, last night on the gubernatorial debate stage, Terry McAuliffe stood before you and said, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. He said, the choice is clear. Vote for me. Well, let me just say this. As I said, we're reluctant to make the kind of sweeping institutional changes that we really need to make. And although he is not as bad as Terry McAuliffe, putting Youngkin, putting a Mitt Romney Republican in office, is going to give the people an illusion that things are getting back to normal, and they're not. Underneath this Republican at the front of all of this, they're going to continue with their CRT. They're going to continue with their drag queen story time hours. They're going to continue with their gender gaslighting. All that stuff is going to continue to happen. But you'll just think that because this guy says the kind of stuff that you want to hear, that it's going your way, and it isn't going to go your way. Even if, and we've seen this happen, as I said, many states here in Texas, you have Abbott and Republicans and majority of the state legislature would say, you're not going to teach critical race theory. And they came out in defiance and said, no, we will teach it. And believe me, they will. They don't have the ability to enforce that prohibition on these teachers. They can't put somebody there in every particular place. And so when you look at this, that is the dangerous thing. To think that because you got a Republican there, that you got Trump in office, that he's got your back and he's going to do what you, he has your values because you voted for him. I remember seeing Harry Belafonte, a liberal, who was a big Trump, a big Obama supporter. And he said, about 6 years into Obama, he said, we never knew who this guy was. He didn't do what we wanted him to do. He didn't get radical enough. He said, we projected our values on him. We voted for him because we thought he was like us. He talked like us. He said he believed the things that we believe. The same thing happens with Republicans as well. So what do we do? Well, homeschooling has doubled across America. You want to know what your kids are being taught? Teach them yourself. Teach them yourself. When you're in the way, you talk to your kids. You're constantly instructing them as you're going down the highway. When you're in your home, you're constantly instructing them. That was what Moses said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 6. And you know, interestingly enough, the Jewish people have had much better success than pretty much anybody else in terms of passing on their belief systems because they took that to heart. They're constantly teaching their kids. You never stop. So they have a quote here in this WND story from Answers in Genesis. It said, Answers in Genesis is praising parents for, quote, waking up to the fact that if you have a secular education, that is not a neutral education. It is not. And that the public secular schools are not neutral. They're not for Christ. They are against Christ. You either walk in the light or you walk in the darkness. There is no gray area. There is no neutral position in this. I know that sounds intolerant to a lot of people, but there is no neutrality with God. I mean, the good news is that even though you're either in relationship or out of relationship with God, either your kids are going to be in relationship or out of relationship with God, you can't make that happen, but you can help to facilitate it, and you are responsible for that. But the issue is that if you have a relationship with him, it is one of Lord. Now, I know that sounds really bad to a lot of people who don't have that. They don't want to be bossed around. I don't like to be bossed around. But I can say that even though I'm not a big fan of authority, and you know that because I come from a libertarian bent, I got to say that, you know, it's a different type of thing. God is not a dictator. He's not an abusive father. He's a good father. And I would give you the example of the situation that happened with King David. He had his rival's son, who was in the bloodline of the first king, was crippled. And so the response of most kings would be to kill that potential opponent of his. Instead, he brought him into his house, and he set him at his table, and he gave him the best of food and treated him like his own child. And eventually, he rebelled against him, and then David forgave him for that as well. So the bottom line, that is the kind of father that God is. You know, so it is not a dictatorial relationship. He's not an abusive father. He's not an abusive parent. It is a relationship that frees you, but it is a relationship where he is Lord. There is not a neutral position, is what I'm saying. It's not a brutal type of slavery. You're actually a slave to sin, and you don't realize it in many cases. One good thing to come out of these shutdowns is that many parents have been awakened to what secular really means. It means that you're against God. It also means, you know, the term secular doesn't just mean, we don't have religion around here. Secular actually comes, it's a time reference. It means for a second of time. And if you are secular, that is what your life is. It is a second of time. It is secular as opposed to eternal. Anyway, as a result of that awakening, as well as various mandates and school reopenings and shutting down throughout the year, plus other factors, census data has found that 11.1% of U.S. households with school-aged children are now homeschooling. That's double the number from before the pandemic. That increase means that there's about 2.6 million new homeschool students across the nation. The report also found that 8.7 million children have been pulled from government-run school, placed in private school, which includes many Christian schools. And they talked about the percentages. Listen to this. 9.7% of white families homeschooled, 12% of Hispanics, 8.8% of Asians, and 16.1% of black families. Much bigger with black families. A mother in Tennessee, talking to the Federalist, told the Federalist that her family made the move only so that she could teach her children at home. They moved to Tennessee so they wouldn't have the kind of harassment that they were facing where they lived before, but also so that her family could spend more time together. She said the pandemic and the ensuing restrictions made her decision to homeschool much easier. Christian school parents found it easier to manage their child's time, to communicate with their teachers if they had them in a Christian school, to manage their child's assignments. They were better able to keep up with their child's morale than the parents of children in public schools. In other words, you get to know them. The director of research for Homeschool Legal Defense Association, by the way, if you homeschool, you should become a member of that. Very important protection, and they also stand together collectively to defend individual liberty. He said, children who continue in the public schools lost about 5 months of learning, and if you want to catch up, you might consider homeschooling. He said, for many years, researchers have known that specific kinds of student behaviors accelerated learning. For example, they discovered that learning speeds up when students spend more time reading, writing, typing, and talking about their lessons, but it slows down when they do these things less frequently. Perhaps nothing makes this principle more evident than the achievement delays that were experienced by public school students during the pandemic. That is, it seems reasonable that large numbers of public school students fell far behind because school closings prevented them from engaging in these behaviors all the year. And so he said, if you want to catch up with it, you can do it with homeschooling. Homeschooling allows the kids, frankly, to cover a lot more in a lot less time. There's fewer distractions. There's a lot less shuffling from place to place. John Taylor Gatto, years ago, was Teacher of the Year in New York, and then he said, and I'm resigning because I hate this system. This is a system that is against educating the kids. They don't learn anything. He thought outside the box. He would take his kids on field trips, and they would do practical things as well. He was a great teacher, but he really hated the, the school institution. And he said, why would you set up a situation where just as somebody is starting to get engaged in a subject, you ring the bell and you shuffle them off to somewhere else? It's kind of like a weird game show if you stop and think about it. In Alaska, homeschooling has surged by 18% to 27.5%. At Oklahoma, 20%. Florida at 18%. Vermont, 17%. In the Riverside metro area in California, the rate was 19.2%. while in Detroit and Phoenix, it was in the 15% range. And at the same time I was looking at this, I saw this story that was put out by mainstream media. Disney Cruise Line sued $27 million for an alleged child sex abuse. The family went on a Disney cruise, and they have these family cruises. And I'll tell you about my personal experience with this in a moment. But in this particular case, this is a three-year-old daughter sexually abused by another child. Parents claim that she was enjoying a week-long voyage on the Disney fantasy ship when she was excessively groped and sexually touched in her private parts by a 12-year-old girl dressed in a Princess Leia costume. Their daughter, quote, did not have the physical capability of the three-year-old to break through the physical restraint of the older girl to stop the sexual assault. They said the 2020 ordeal lasted for an extended period of time and was in plain view of one or more staff members at the onboard youth club. The filing also alleges that staff at no time notified the parents of the assault, which was captured through onboard closed-circuit TV, including the daughter's emotional and physical distress during and immediately after the incident. The lawyer representing the family said, "This is a parent's worst nightmare." Exactly. I mean, they're suing them for $27 million. I mean, if that was your child, would you rather have the $27 million or would you rather have this never, ever happen? And I mentioned this in conjunction with what we're talking about with school, because when we went on a Disney cruise, and it was something I've had, I've been on three cruises in my life, and I am so thankful that there's absolutely no way that I'll ever be able to get on another one because I'm not going to get vaccinated. But this particular cruise was Karen's parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And so they got the grandkids and the families and took everybody on the Disney cruise. So couldn't say no. And even though this was supposed to be a family cruise, when we got on there with our two boys who were young at the time, the first thing they wanted to do was to put a wristband on them for the duration of the cruise. So what's that for, and why are you doing that to the kids? Well, because you'll be leaving them with the youth club, because we've got all kinds of cool activities designed for them and all this sort of thing. And so we said, well, we're not going to be leaving them with you, but, you know, we'll let them participate. And so we followed them in, and we watched them. You know, they had one of these things where they're doing a science experiment. It was part science and part entertainment, of course. And so Karen and I went in there, and we stood there and watched everything they did. And it really made them uncomfortable. They kept coming over to us and saying, "It's really okay. We can take care of this." And it's like, and the more they were telling us that we could go away, the more we were determined that we were not going to go away. So, you know, I thought it was kind of strange. I said, well, what activities do you have, since it's a family cruise, what activities do you have that the entire family can do? We've never had anybody ask that question before. No, we don't do that. I mean, we take your kids so you can have a good time. And so we have stuff for the kids to do, and we have stuff for you to do. But we don't have any activities for all of you to do together. But do you understand the difference? And I bring that up because that is, when you look at what is happening with this, you never know what's going to happen when you leave your kids with strangers. You never know what even another kid is going to do. And stop and think about the fact that their three-year-old daughter was molested by a 12-year-old girl. Where did she get that kind of, where did that come from? Well, it came from media. It came from schools that are pushing the LGBT agenda. It seemed for her to be a perfectly normal thing to do, and she engaged in that. It comes from leaving your kids in these schools where you're going to have the drag queen story time hour, where you're going to have the gender gaslighting and the rest of this stuff. And this is a very degenerate society. In case you don't understand, just look at New York, for example. They looked at the ratio of brothels and illegal massage parlors in New York City, the ratio of those to Starbucks. They have double the number of houses of prostitution in New York City than they do Starbucks. And I bet they didn't shut down the prostitution this last year. You probably didn't even have to wear a mask. or anything at all. For every Starbucks, they said, there's at least two illicit massage parlors. But in Queens, the ratio is 5 to 1. They said there are at least 269 open brothels in that business, in that area. And they talk about a few of them and about the details of it, which are not really very interesting. But just consider the fact that this is happening in New York City, where we have the governor, for public health purposes, is firing unvaccinated nurses, banning church services while all this stuff was going on last year. Do you understand where we are in this society? We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Looking for better information? APSRadioNews.com features articles and commentary, along with audio from all the top news from around the world. APSRadioNews.com.
I want to talk a little bit about some listeners' letters. I've had a lot of listeners, and I have sent updates about what's going on in Australia, New Zealand, what is happening in other countries around the world as well. I want to get into some of that. Let me start, though, first with this that was forwarded to me. A report from an Army doctor. This doctor is Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, M.D. And let me just quickly read through some of what she had to say here, talking about what she has seen with people who have been vaccinated. She said, I personally observed the most physically fit female soldier I've ever seen in over 20 years in the Army go from collegiate-level athlete training for Ranger School to being physically debilitated with cardiac problems, newly diagnosed pituitary brain tumor, thyroid dysfunction within weeks of getting vaccinated. Several military physicians have shared with me their firsthand experience with a significant increase in the number of young soldiers with migraines, menstrual irregularities, cancer, suspected myocarditis, and reporting cardiac symptoms after vaccination. Numerous soldiers and DOD civilians have told me of how they were sick, bedridden, debilitated, unable to work for days to weeks after vaccination. I've also recently reviewed 3 flight crew members' medical records, all of which presented with both significant and aggressive systemic health issues. Today I received word of one fatality and 2 ICU cases at Fort Hood. The deceased was an Army pilot who could have been flying at the time. All 3 pulmonary embolism events happened within 48 hours of their vaccination. I cannot attribute this result to anything other than the COVID-19 vaccines as a source of these events. Each person was in top physical condition before the inoculation. Each suffered the event within 2 days post-vaccination. So see, that doesn't count. It doesn't count according to the CDC statistics. It doesn't count until 14 days after your second vaccination. Up until that time, you're unvaccinated. So these people who got shot with a Trump shot and died within 48 hours, they're unvaccinated. Those are unvaccinated deaths. See, we have a pandemic of the unvaccinated dying because we manipulate those numbers. They have cynically manipulated this from the very beginning, and that is one of the most cynical manipulations I have seen, to completely reverse the meaning of the numbers. She goes on to say, correlation by itself does not equal causation. However, significant causal patterns do exist that raise correlation into a probable cause, and the burden to prove otherwise falls on the authorities, such as CDC, FDA, pharmaceutical manufacturers. That's right. You know, when you have a trial and you have circumstantial evidence, that's not enough to convict somebody unless you have a whole lot of circumstantial evidence. After it gets to a certain point, it carries a weight of its own. And the same thing is true here when we are talking about correlation and causality. So the burden of proof to make these things, to prove these things are safe, really fell on the FDA. And they failed to do that because they didn't do a test. A test does not run for 2 months. It runs for more than 2 years. And they destroyed the control group as well. But now we're seeing these results, and then they just dismiss them all as isolated, rare instances. She said, I can report of knowing over 15 military physicians and healthcare providers who have shared experiences of having their safety concerns ignored and being ostracized for expressing or reporting safety concerns as they relate to COVID vaccinations. The politicization of these treatments and the vaccination strategies have completely compromised long-standing safety mechanisms, open and honest dialogue, and the trust of our service members and their health system and their health care providers. And so she put her name to that. And, of course, there will be consequences for that because this is the world that we live in now. People who tell the truth are punished. And the punishments are more than just being banned off of YouTube. I got this from a listener who is in New Zealand. He said, this is early in the week, breaking news. And, of course, I was sent this almost 2 weeks ago. I apologize for not getting this out sooner. But he said, the government offered the family of a 17-year-old girl called Isabella from Auckland who died of a blood clot in her heart due to only one jab. She had nearly 2 weeks before the fatal event. They offered the family a bribe of $100,000 to keep quiet about the vax death of their child. They are spewing, he said, and her dad is a lawyer. Hopefully, finally, these scum are going to get exposed. The Ministry of Health had two of their officials try to tell the parents that she died because of blood clots formed because of taking a contraceptive pill. Yeah, right. Well, let's take a look at some of the other young individuals. That's a 17-year-old girl, died of a blood clot in her heart 2 weeks after having the vaccine. A 19-year-old Ukrainian student gets the Pfizer vaccine behind his family's back and dies 7 hours later. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. The European Union database of suspected drug reactions now is reporting 26,041 fatalities. And remember, the European Union database is only about half of the European countries. 26,000 fatalities, 2,448,000 injuries, and 362, we should say. In Slovenia, you have the suspension of the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the Janssen vaccine, after the death of a 20-year-old. The Slovenian government has suspended the Johnson & Johnson vaccine after the death of a 20-year-old student vaccinated because it is mandated for universities. She received her shot on Thursday, September the 16th. She suffered several health problems shortly afterwards. She was hospitalized on Monday, September 27th, and in Lubyanka. Her symptoms were so severe that immediate medical attention was required. She died just recently. It said died today in the early morning, and I'm looking to see what the date of that is. But nevertheless, it happened very soon. It resulted, the vaccine caused blood clots and bleeding in her brain. So we've done everything that modern medicine can do in such conditions. We consulted all the experts involved in the field, vascular specialists, hematologists, nephrologists, neurologists. We approached the treatment aggressively, but unfortunately we could not help her, said a spokesman at the University Clinical Center. Slovenian Minister of Health then ordered the suspension. See, wouldn't you think that would be the case? I mean, how many of these cases like this, and this has always been the case in the past, if you had the kind of cases that we're seeing over and over and over again, the people at the FDA would have put a halt to it. Or public health ministers or officials, local or state, would have stopped it and said, we need to investigate this. Instead, what they do is they cover it up. They just dismiss it as a coincidence. Her parents said she wanted to have a freedom just like everybody else here. So she went to get vaccinated, and she went with the Janssen so she wouldn't be limited by this nonsense. And because it was a single dose, she is no more today, and she was only 20 years old, they said, to the parents, out of the translation. In France, a 13-year-old boy loses his eyesight 10 days after getting the Pfizer vaccine. Blood clots. Blood clots. You see, that's something that happened to my father when I was so young I don't really remember it. He had a defective heart valve, and it caused him to have blood clots. And that caused him to have a blood clot that, I think it was a defective heart valve. That was kind of the explanation we got, I don't know. But he had a blood clot that went to his eye and caused him to be blind the rest of his life. And he was on blood-thinning medication the rest of his life as well. But this is a 13-year-old boy, and the reason for his blood clot was the Pfizer vaccine. Blood clots are such a common issue. It's not novel. Everybody knows this, except the people, I guess, who are taking it. This is in France. 13-year-old boy got his shot on July the 17th, 1 month after they opened up the vaccination for minors over 12, on June the 15th. A few days after his injection, he started having vision problems. His eyesight became blurry until he couldn't see at all. His case is the first case in France of a minor having a strong reduction in vision, but he suffered from a corneal thrombosis linked to the Pfizer vaccine. This is also in France, a 17-year-old student dies 7 days after receiving the Pfizer COVID vaccine. Family is looking for answers. Very healthy girl suddenly dies. In Greece, a healthy 15-year-old boy dies 3 days after receiving the Pfizer vaccine. His brother is speaking out about that. In Italy, a 14-year-old who went into a coma 2 days after receiving her second Pfizer vaccine has died. By the way, you can find these and many more at vaccineimpact.com. And so what do we do with this? Well, the answer from Fauci, this shameless murderer, this shameless shill for big pharmaceutical companies, is that we're going to have vaccine mandates coming for K through 12 students here. Pfizer came out and said, we've just done our own analysis, and we say it's safe. So here, give me the rubber stamp, and they'll do it. They'll do it. The country's 21st largest school district and the San Diego school district, which joins the number two, the second largest school district in L.A., they have similar guidelines. They said, we believe in the science, we believe in the process, and we want to protect children, so we're going to jab them with something to protect them that has a lot of risks, to protect them from something from which they have no risk at all. So they are not spreading this disease. I was reluctant to talk about this particular case here, this Michigan couple who dies within minutes of each other, holding hands, they said. And they do this, as they talk about this, I don't like to have these stories where they collect, the media does this, they'll collect somebody who died because they were not vaccinated and they died. Therefore, you all got to get vaccinated. Or people who put it out and say, well, this couple was vaccinated and they died, so don't get vaccinated. But the fact is that they were fully vaccinated and it didn't help them one way or the other. As a matter of fact, the family said they did everything right. What that means is that they followed all the advice of the medical community, which is very dangerous advice. It is proven, first of all, not to work. It has proven to be very risky. They did everything. They got the vaccines. They got sick. They put them on ventilators. Then they took them off of life support. you know, the do not resuscitate orders that are multiplying everywhere. They put out their own do not resuscitate orders. They make sure the family cannot be there. They keep any medication that the family may want to use with them that is not pharmaceutical, not expensive. As I pointed out yesterday, you look at the death rate of people who have been put on ivermectin versus remdesivir. With remdesivir, you still had about a third of the people die. It was about 3% of the people who still died with ivermectin. Difference is ivermectin cost about $20 and the remdesivir cost $3,100. Widespread ivermectin use has caused a 97% drop in COVID cases now in Delhi, India, after essentially eradicating it in Uttar Pradesh, a state that has 241 million people. And it began because they saw that it was effective as a prophylactic to protect the doctors and nurses who were working there. None of them got sick as they were taking it preventively. And so the health official there said, well, maybe we ought to start giving this to other people. When they did, it stopped everything. Stopped the so-called pandemic. Stopped people from going to the hospital, the emergency rooms. But, of course, that's not the way that we operate here, is it? No, here we're focused on profit and we're focused on politics, and that's the only thing we really care about here. You know, we look at this booster stuff. I think that is one of the key issues. When you look at Biden, you know, when he got his shot, it's now come out, people have shown a wider shot. He was actually getting that shot on a phony set to make it look like he was at the White House. He was on a stage. Now, if the backdrop that he's got there, if he's on a stage getting this all done, they're staging something to make it look like he's in the White House, why not just shoot it in the White House? What is going on with this? This is like the Truman Show or something, this administration. It's crazy. Was the vaccine that he got, was that real? The set, look at that. Yeah, zoom in on that, Travis. That's absolutely amazing. Look at that. He's on a set. This is a televised pandemic. You would not know this is a pandemic if you were not watching television. You know, this is the emergency BS system. If this was a real emergency, we wouldn't be telling you anything. There he is on a set. I don't know if the vaccine is real or not. I suspect that it isn't. But he was doing that to get his booster and to tell you that you need to get boosters. And AP is saying the COVID boosters are going to mean billions for the drug makers. Oh, yeah. Booster billions. Kind of reminds me of that movie, Brewster's Millions, right? These are the booster billions. You know, that movie, if you remember back in 1985, that was Richard Pryor. And it's an old guy who's dying. He's very wealthy. He's going to leave him $300 million, but he's got to be able to spend $30 million in 30 days. And he can't buy any assets. He can't give it away to charity. And he can't tell anybody what he's doing. But he's got to blow through that whole 30. And if he blows through all that $30 million in 30 days, he gets $300 million. You know, they'd made it 40 years earlier, 1945, they'd made that movie. It was based on a story, short story that was written around the turn of the century, about another 40 years before that. I think it was 1905. So it's like every 40 years they were doing another movie of that short story. But when I look at this, it's kind of, you know, we've now got the booster billions, don't we? We've got, instead of an old guy who's going to die and he's got these conditions, instead we got a rich Uncle Sam, played by Donald Trump. And and he's going to shovel all this money over to the pharmaceutical companies, and they've just got to run this stuff through as fast as they can. And then if they do, then they're going to become overnight billionaires. And they can do this rinse and repeat over and over again. All they got to do is rush this stuff through real quickly, get this thing approved in 30 days, and you're not going to get $300 million. You're going to get $300 billion. We're going to make 9 new billionaires out of you and just a few of these companies. And that's really what this is about. This is really about the money, isn't it?
Show me the
money! That's exactly what it is. Yeah, the average forecast among analysts for Moderna's 2022 revenue has jumped 35%. Boosters billions. No one knows yet how many people get the extra shots, But Morningstar analyst Karen Anderson expects boosters alone to bring in about $26 billion in global sales next year for both Pfizer and about $14 billion for Moderna if they're endorsed for nearly all Americans. See, this is not science. This is not public health. This is politics. It's about greed. It's about power. Pfizer, Moderna, for them, the boosters could be more profitable than the original doses because they won't come with research and development costs and the companies incurred to get the vaccines on the market in the first place. Let me tell you something. This is AP saying that. This is paid for. It's paid for by taxpayer money given to them by Trump, and then he delivered it for them and all the rest of the stuff. This is socialized medicine. Privatized profits, no liability, no risk for these vaccine companies. And if anybody has any questions, you'll be purged out of the public square by YouTube and Google and the rest of these people. They said drug makers are not the only businesses that could see a windfall from delivering the boosters. You got drugstore chains like CVS and Walgreens. They could bring in more than $800 million each. They also get to participate in the booster billions, don't they? So why is the left, my question is, right, why is the left cheering this corporate giveaway of the Trump shots? You would think that they would object, and of course they did object to the Trump shots when Trump was still there, but as soon as he left, now it's ours. And of course, why are they so happy to give all this money to the corporations? They've always hated corporations, they especially hated crony capitalism. Well, again, it's because to them the end justifies the means. For the same reason that they're throwing everything else out. All the Bill of Rights, everything they ever said was important, whether it is privacy or my body, my choice, or the First Amendment, all these free speech, all these different things that liberals have coalesced around, it doesn't matter as long as the end justifies the means. And so you have a good example of this is CNBC. The propaganda that we see, unvaccinated Americans are falsely saying that the need for booster shots proves the vaccines don't work. This is a Kaiser Family Foundation survey doing a push poll. But their attitude with all this is that, it just shows. They said that the people who are vaccinated say that the fact that they're putting out boosters out here shows that the regulators last week that the scientists are trying to make the shots more effective. How in the world could anybody be that stupid? Nothing is changing on these shots. Nothing at all is changing on these shots. It's the same shots that you got one and two of. So a third one, again, same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity. But that's being pushed as if the people who are skeptical about this are the ones who are crazy. They're saying the unvaccinated people think that this is showing that the vaccines don't work. But that's not the case. It shows that they do work. How in the world could that be the case? Pfizer is launching a final study for a COVID drug that is very, very similar to horse paste, ivermectin. Why? Because they can patent this one. They'll change it just a little bit, and then they'll patent it. And we've seen this with medical marijuana. They would come out with Marinol. Wasn't effective. But they could patent that. And this is exactly what they do. The only reason they will do a 180 for this, simply because they've got the money. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be joined by Steve Malloy, and we're going to talk a little bit about the other side of this coin, and that is the climate change agenda. Because regardless of whatever the panic, the thing that's going to kill everybody is, the solution is always the same. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Steve Malloy, JunkScience.com.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family. All right, we'll come back in a second.
If you like the Eagles, on a dark desert highway, the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News, they say the hotter rock and roll is to be. You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
All right, and joining us now is Steve Malloy with JunkScience.com, and we're going to talk to him about climate change, because this is they're using this in the same way they're using the pandemic over the last year. And he's got a book called Scare Pollution. Tell us a little bit about that book, Steve. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, David. So Scare Pollution is my story of uncovering about $600 million worth of science fraud at the EPA, which wound up bankrupting the U.S. coal industry.
Wow.
And, you know, if you hear these, you always hear this from EPA that, you know, air pollution kills hundreds of thousands of people per year. So my book explains how that is all fraud. And, you know, we were able to fix some things during the Trump administration, but unfortunately now the Biden EPA is unwinding everything we did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It goes back and forth. That the people don't understand what is really going on. And of course, you and I have been focused on this a long time. You did some excellent research when I was back in North Carolina about the time I left to come here to Texas. You discovered PM 2.5, right. fine particulate matter 2.5. And again, this is to tell people what this is something the EPA is out there trying to get rid of all diesel fuel and all barbecues and everything based on fine particulate matter. Tell people what you found and how you found it, just as a review.
Yeah, so EPA claims that soot and dust in the air, fine particulate matter, you know, any exposure to any inhalation of that can kill you. And EPA says that it kills up to 500,000 people per year, which is like one out of five deaths in America caused by air pollution. Who knew? So I uncovered that EPA was doing secret human experiments with particulate matter. I mean, the EPA, you know, was telling everybody that any exposure to this, any inhalation of soot and dust can kill you. Yet it's got human guinea pigs in a North Carolina facility that is, you know, if you believe EPA, poisoning people with to see if it kills them or hurts them. And of course it never did, because it was all fraud to start with. So we uncovered that and ended EPA's human testing program, but not before EPA was able to go through and, you know, destroy the U.S. coal industry.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is that I, at the time, and this was back in 2012, I went to the EPA site where they talked about fine particulate matter 2.5. That's 2.5 microns. Just to give you an idea of the size of that, your N95 masks are going to catch 95% of the particles that are going to be 300 nanometers or bigger. The viral particles, they say, of the coronavirus, however, are 80 to 120 nanometers. That's why it's like trying to stop mosquitoes with a chain link fence. But the fine particulate matter is about 2,500 microns. And so, you know, when you're looking at this, so when you talk about the, you know, 300 microns that gets 95% of the stuff that's 300 microns, this is 2,500 microns. So I guess maybe, you know, they could just have us all wearing masks, because you had Lisa Jackson, right, that was there with a Congressman Markey at the time. He's now a senator. And they had that dog and pony show where they were going back and forth. And she was saying, Lisa Jackson, the Obama EPA head, was saying, I'm not talking about people getting sick. I'm talking about people dying, and we got more people dying from this than we do from cancer and heart disease and all the rest of it. Same kind of stuff we were hearing on the CDC.
Well, you've got a great memory, Dave. I got a hand to your memory. You got a great memory. That's absolutely true. I mean, if what EPA was claiming was true, we would all be wearing masks all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not true. And you know, so the shocking thing during these human experiments is that, you know, you have to disclose to your human guinea pigs what the risks are, and EPA would say, "Oh, there's no risk." Meanwhile, they're telling everybody else, including Congress, that this stuff is wiping out 500,000 people a year. I mean, it's a total fraud. So we uncovered that, and you know, still fighting against the deep state with it.
And I really liked the way that you did it. I mean, it was old-fashioned journalism. You're looking at the tests that they've got there, and you say, they had to take some people to the hospital for this. And then you started finding out that they'd actually pre-screened and selected people who had respiratory issues, cardiac issues beforehand. Yeah. I mean, they were trying to ramp
they
this
were
thing
trying up. We sued them, and they basically admitted in litigation that they were trying to hurt people because – you know, the epidemiology studies they had weren't very good and couldn't prove anything by themselves anyway. So they undertook these human clinical trials to try to hurt people.
Yeah.
And I mean, what kind of government do we have? It's crazy. And now, of course, people are seeing it with COVID, right?
Yes.
We know what kind of government we have.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. As we see this, and we've been locked down with all this stuff, and now we're all participating in a medical experiment with these vaccine things, as we're that, they're now pivoting back to climate change. Because, again, the goal was always the same. They want to take away our energy and these other issues. What do you see happening now as this is ramping back up again?
Okay, so I mean, I'm going to say that, you know, the goal is to build this communist society, and part of that is getting a grip on the economy. So 10 years ago, you know, Democrats got a grip on the healthcare system with Obamacare. Now it's time for the other 84% of the economy, and so they're coming at it with climate, and in particular, this, you know, $3.5 or $5.5 trillion stimulus bill has this plan under which the federal government will seize control of the electricity grid. And they've developed this system where, you know, they plan to get rid of virtually all the fossil fuel electricity, you know, the backbone of our grid, and replace it with solar and wind, which is totally insane. And they plan to do it just for, you know, a few $100 billion. even though the actual value of the grid is $5 trillion, and there's no way it can be done. And so, you know, I conclude that because, you know, there's no analysis that the utility industry has done. There's no analysis on the Hill that shows any of this can be done. Because there's no analysis and the cost differential is so great, I conclude that they don't really mean for it to work. All they're after is control of the grid. And that's, that's really the key part, I think, of this stimulus bill. The spending is, extra. If, you know, they can get that, great. But what they really want the control. Because with the control, you control everything. You can get all the money you want later.
That's right. And of course, they can eradicate everything in terms of the middle class, in terms of our lifestyle, in terms of our life expectancy. When you look at what has happened over this last year, we've had the renewable energy grid taken down in California. Fires affected that. We've had problems here in Texas. We suffered with that at the beginning of the year. I had to do a couple of broadcasts by cell phone and by candlelight because we had no power here because they had gone all in on windmills that froze. And then in the UK, people said, well, you know, if you had thought ahead, you could have gotten some windmills that don't freeze. You could have paid a little bit of extra, you know, and got some heaters put on them or whatever. But then the UK, you've got some rolling blackouts, but basically super high energy prices because they got to go back to natural gas and the few natural gas places that they've got. Everybody's competing for that. But now we got another component of this that's come in, Steve, and that's what's happening in China. China's having shortages as well because they can't get enough coal. They're allowed to use coal. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So China cannot mine enough coal now to meet electricity demand. And of course, foolishly, the Chinese stopped importing Australian coal because Australia had criticized the communists about COVID. So China, basically banned Australian imports, including coal, which they depended on. I mean, it's classic communist, thinking or non-thinking. And so now they're in dire straits. Factories, you know, going into this winter, they're not sure they can have enough coal, so they're going to have to burn diesel instead. The whole idea that China is ever going to cut emissions, like John Kerry fantasizes, is totally insane. There's no evidence of that. It's not even China's goal. You know, of course, China's goal is to be the lone global superpower by 2049, while, you know, Joe Biden, John Kerry's goal is for America to have no electricity.
That's right. Yeah, there. As you look at the massive burdens that are being put on the grid itself with all the electric cars, because they're going to say, well, the only way that we're going to let you drive is if you got an electric car that's battery operated that gets powered off of the grid. Well, there's no way that's going to even be, even with the current capacity, we'd be able to support a tiny fraction of the number of automobiles that are out there now. But at the same time they're doing that, massively overloading the grid, they're reducing the capacity of the grid at the same time. And isn't it interesting, because even with all this Paris climate stuff, and that's all come back now, with all the Paris climate stuff, you had people who were saying that if they believed in man-made global warming because of emissions and so forth, they were very upset because the Paris Climate Accord let China and India build as many power plants as they wanted, and they could be as dirty as they wanted. That's one of the reasons why they're out there scrounging around for coal while nobody else can do that.
Yeah, well, so, you know, 25 years ago, Joe Biden opposed the Kyoto Protocol because China and India wouldn't commit to stop burning coal, wouldn't commit to cutting emissions. Well, they still haven't yet. Now, all of a sudden, Joe Biden wants to destroy our economy. What has changed? Well, you know, it's Joe Biden. The thing that's really astounding about what Congress is trying to do right now is that, as you mentioned, you know, if you go to electric cars, the grid can't support it. There's no way that any of these policies can work. There's no analysis that shows, there's no thinking that goes into this. I mean, you just have Bernie Sanders, Nancy Pelosi, AOC sitting down coming up with a crazy plan to grab power, and, you know, we're supposed to go along with it. It's totally insane. This stuff is not designed to work. It's in fact designed to fail, because what happens when things fail? Well, you have chaos, and out of chaos comes more government control. And of course, that is the point.
And you have an article that's up on the Washington Times, your latest one. I just found my stack. I printed out these articles and I got them covered up with some other papers. The left's climate path to remaking our society into a communist utopia, because this is what this is about. This is about pushing us into the UN 2030 agenda and all the rest of this stuff. And that comes complete with a takedown of our lifestyle. What people have seen with Davos was also part of the UN 2030 agenda, taking away our lifestyle, tracking everything that we do, limiting our ability to travel, what we eat, how we live, and so forth. And so it truly is a way to remake our society into a communist utopia, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I wrote a book about this when Obama became president. It's called Green Hell, How Environmentalists Plan to Control Your Life. And I mean, there's no aspect of our lives they don't want to control. They want to tell you where to live, what to eat, where to work, how many children you can have, what kind of car you can drive, what kind of electricity you can have, whether you can have electricity. You know, this whole federal takeover of the grid now, when you think about it, between the smart meters and the smart appliances, I mean, the federal government is basically going to run your house. You know, when you can wash clothes, when you can wash dishes, how much air conditioning you can have. I mean, all those are real possibilities coming out of this. And with the federal government running the grid, I mean, they're just going to control it, you know, A to Z, soup to nuts.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that the key thing, and this is why I keep coming, they're coming back, of course, to the climate change thing. But hopefully, what we've seen this last year, the fact that over the decades they could say, well, we're going to have a new ice age, now we're going to have man-made ice age, now we're going to have man-made global warming, now we're going to have a virus, a pandemic, and whatever the existential worldwide issue is, the solutions always remain the same. So hopefully people will start to see that there's a pattern here, that there's really not a threat to us except from their agenda that they'll use any pretense to enforce, right?
Well, yeah, no, and I think that after, you know, after COVID, going forward in elections, people really need to force candidates to answer the question, are you prone to totalitarianism? Are you just a closet? If I scratch you, are you going to be a tyrant? Like virtually, you know, every politician is in this country, both Republican and Democrat. They all go along with this nonsense. I don't know, you know, there's few and far between who are actually defending us. You know, you got Ron DeSantis, and maybe a couple, you know, in the Senate, and there may be a handful of governors otherwise. But most people, I live in Maryland, behind the Iron Curtain in Maryland, my governor, you know, he might as well be a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
And he's tyrannical as anybody else.
Yeah, I remember, I think it might have been the last time we talked, and it was after the election, and you were calling on President Trump to put pressure on Mitch McConnell to hold a vote and to finally put the stake in this Paris climate thing, because you said it's going to be back. And that it was a brilliant observation. Nobody picked up on that. And that was exactly what could have been done and should have been done from the very beginning. He could have even done that under when Obama was president. Mitch McConnell could have called a vote and they had the votes to shut this thing down. But now you have this situation where, you know, the Obama administration and now the Biden administration is saying, well, we just decided we will self-ratify this Paris Climate Accord treaty. Mitch McConnell could have shut that entire thing down by calling a vote that they would have lost, and then that would have been it.
Well, yeah, you know, they waited until the last moment, and then January 6th happened, of course, and nothing got done after that. But there had been plenty of time. Republicans could have brought this up any time during the Trump administration, hold the vote, reject the treaty. Even the Green New Deal, when the Senate voted on that, it failed unanimously. No Democrat dared to vote for it. So the Paris climate, and we wouldn't be in it right now. Of course, not that it really matters. I mean, you know, Biden, if this legislation that Nancy Pelosi is trying to ram through right now, if the stimulus bill, if that fails, Biden is going to go to his old backup, EPA. EPA right now is going back to PM 2.5, David. You know, it's the first thing we started talking about today and the thing that we blew out of the water before. EPA is going right back to it. And under the guise of regulating air pollution, they're going to, they're going to pass climate rules. Yeah. So, they're bent on doing this. And, you know, we need to prevail in 2022 and then in 2024, again, if that is even possible, to save ourselves.
Yeah, and it's going to be difficult because we've got people like Mitch McConnell who you would hope, well, you know, he's a Republican, he's going to stop this stuff. But again, he had the ability to do that the entire 4 years. And I think, I don't remember, did they have a Republican majority under Obama? I think they could have done it then, I think. I can't remember if they had a Republican majority or not. But
well, it could have been a lot more family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, here's the problem. Look,
they wouldn't have had 66 votes, even if they didn't have the majority, they wouldn't have had 66 votes to get that thing through in the Senate. And, you know, they could have pushed that thing through. Sorry, go ahead.
Look, Republicans right now are looking to easily cruising through 2022. Well, did they miss 2020? I mean, a guy who sat in his basement got 80 million votes. Are you kidding me? I mean, Democrats are plotting strategically right now. You know, they are. To steal 2022 as well. I mean, it's more difficult because it's, you know, more diffuse with the House and Senate. But, you know, they're working on it. Okay, what are Republicans doing? Oh, we've already won.
Yeah,
wrong.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's not who votes that counts. It's who counts the votes. And they have locked in a lot of these different states, the same mail-in election fraud that was at the core of a lot of this stuff. But talk a little bit about what is in this bill that they're pushing through. And if it looks like it's going to get through, Manchin has come back and said, look, you know, we spent over $5 trillion last year. You're saying it's going to be $3.5 trillion. Of course, we know, as you point out, it'll be more likely $5.5 trillion. He goes, when does this all stop? And so he's pulling back on that. Do you think this is going to make it through?
Well, you know, so we have, we're relying on Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who the left, they so hate now, they've turned him into a monster called Manchema. that's in the Washington Post, Manchema. So they hate these people now. And the top of the New York Times is how, you know, communists in Arizona are all unhappy with Kyrsten Sinema. I don't think it's going to pass now, but of course they're not going to give up.
That's right.
When, you know, the war goes on.
That's right.
I don't think this is going to pass, but something they're going to keep working on something else. So we got to keep fighting, unfortunately. It would help if Republicans would win in 2022, 2024. Then it's a different type of fight. But, you know, I guess for right now, for the next couple of weeks, got to worry about the stimulus bill. So all our attention has to go into that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's key. And of course, you know, it's not just taking things away from us and restricting us and the mandates that they're putting on the cars. All this tax by mile stuff is a part of that. But it is also, it's limiting and locking down or I should say locking in the things that they imposed on us this last year with the lockdown stuff. Let's talk about something that I thought was kind of amusing on your site, junkscience.com. A Wisconsin tragedy validates Malloy's air pollution death hypothesis. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so this goes back to PM 2.5. everything is PM 2.5. So EPA has been claiming that, you know, PM 2.5 kills people, and then they cite these historic instances where air pollution has caused deaths. There was one in 1930 in Belgium, in 1948 in Pennsylvania, and 1952 in London. Okay, these are famous air pollution incidents.
So about one every few decades, and so therefore we've got to completely alter our society, right? If that were true.
And EPA likes to blame us on particulate matter, which is completely false. I mean, these are situations where there has been a temperature inversion, you know, when the air gets trapped in a certain area and they don't turn off the factories, and you get these emissions of acidic gases like sulfur dioxide. And so people who are, you know, vulnerable to those conditions will get ill and sick and die. Not many of them, but some. So, you know, I discovered this in all my research for my book, Scare Pollution, and that's my theory. This is why you never see any air pollution killing anyone anywhere, even in China, because the sulfur dioxide levels are also always very low. So I'm reading, a friend of mine sent me an email the other day. He ran across this news story. This Wisconsin dairy farmer died mysteriously, and they studied why, and they found out that he got trapped in an air inversion and was inhaling sulfur gases, and of course that was the end of him.
Wow.
And so that was my theory.
It wasn't just him, but
I'm waiting my Nobel Prize.
That's right. You got that. I'll wait for my Nobel Prize. And it wasn't just him. It was 16 cows along with him. You know, 16 methane spewing cows.
So they all, you know, basically the inside of their lungs was eaten away by the sulfur dioxide. Wow. You know, it wasn't the methane, but it was sulfur dioxide. So, hey, that validates what I said. Now I just need to convince EPA, which, of course, you know, it's very political, so hard to do.
Wow, that's a freak accident for sure. What caused, we have temperature inversions all the time, but what caused that sulfur dioxide there in the first place?
That I couldn't tell you. I mean, I guess these are can be normal emissions, but if the temperature inversion traps enough of them and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, that's it for you.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, Wisconsin farmer and 16 cattle die. And as you point out, this is what you've been telling people all along. And Scare Pollution, your book, How and Why to Fix the EPA. And it's available on Amazon, and I guess people can also find the links there at junkscience.com. You know, when we look at this, and like you said, it keeps coming back to this fine particulate matter 2.5. They have used that over and over again to try to get rid of everything from diesel engines to barbecue grills. And when I was looking at it back in 2012, they actually had a picture of the Smoky Mountains as an example of fine particulate matter. I was disappointed today when I went back to look at it. They've taken that away. They no longer, because I ridiculed that endlessly. I can't believe this, because, you know, this the Smoky Mountains is just cloud condensation there.
Well, that's why they're called the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's not man-made. It's been there for a long time, but they will use anything to deceive people, and of course they will.
They will, and it's really, you know, you don't need to be a genius on this PM 2.5 stuff. I mean, all you need to do is recognize that, you know, PM 2.5, it's just smoke. I mean, it's like tobacco smoke, okay? And you know, everyone knows that, you know, if you smoke your whole lifetime, yeah, you got increased risk of lung cancer and blah, 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 blah. But if you just have a single cigarette, like you have a single marijuana joint or a single cigar, nothing's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. But if you apply EPA science to a single cigarette or a single cigar or a single, you know, marijuana joint, you're dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And you don't need to be rocket science to go, that's nonsense.
Yep. One cigarette's not going to kill you. Yeah, and that was the amazing thing, too, is the fact that they singled out people who already had issues because they wanted to ramp this up more. But they were exposing them, if I remember correctly, something like 72 times what they said was going to be dangerous. They exposed them to 72 times. So you had this, as the case was brought, you had them in a very uncomfortable position where they either had to deny their regulations or they had to admit that they were violating the Nuremberg Code and trying to kill people, because at the same time they're saying, we're talking about killing people, not making them sick. But they got away with it, of course, taking it to court. The court didn't want to put a temporary injunction on them. Did anything else ever come out of that case?
Well, then they went to the National Academy of Sciences and did a whole whitewash on their experiments. You know, I had contacted the EPA Inspector General for 4 years. They didn't talk to me. All of a sudden, after President Trump was elected, then they called me up and said, Steve, we'd like to interview you about this, because they were scared about what the Trump administration was going to do. But of course, President Trump was great, but many people in his administration were kind of feckless. So,
yeah, I think probably the best part of his administration was the guy they brought in, Scott Pruitt. At the EPA, he started to make some changes, but of course, the Washington crowd ran him out of town on a rail, basically.
Well, yeah, they took him down. He helped out a little bit, but they took him down.
Yeah.
And then the replacement administrator, who is a friend of mine, I worked with in the coal industry, was more of a swamp creature, really, than a MAGA guy. So
yeah, absolutely.
We got swamp stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the way that it goes, unfortunately. And, you know, when we look at it, we look at what Mitch McConnell has done. Just having somebody who's a Republican is no guarantee that we're going to get the right stuff done. Even the EPA's existence, that was created with Richard Nixon. So, you know, it's
I got to say, I'm no Mitch McConnell fan, but, like, in a moment like this, when we've got these, nonsense parliamentary maneuvers, he's probably a good guy to have.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then afterwards,
yeah, he knows how to get what he wants. He's a master at playing the game, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's just, what does he want?
What's really otherwise, we'd have Merrick Garland on the court, and we can see why.
Oh, yeah.
That guy was no moderate. That guy's as hardcore leftist as anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
As AOC.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I just want to tell people where they can find your book again, and it is Scare Pollution. Great cover. How to fix the EPA, and we need to understand where these things are coming from, because this really is at the core, and this has become one of the core principles of the Biden administration. They've talked about climate change from the very beginning. Every move that they make now, they're justifying it as a response to climate change. Every move that they make, whether it is to come after our food supply, our energy supply, our transportation, all of it now is reverted back to climate change. They're still pushing down with this pandemic and vaccine requirements, but they're coming after freedom with the climate change movement. So as always, check out Steve Malloy's junkscience.com, because he's always got some great updates, and he's a great investigator and a great original thinker. It's great having you on, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, David, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. All right, we're going to be right back, folks. Stay with us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right, and so we're still waiting to see what is going to happen on the Hill. As Steve Malloy pointed out, Mitch McConnell is a master at working the system, and it appears that he doesn't want this to go through. And so that is a good thing. You know, that kind of gridlock, that kind of check is a good thing. Would have been good if he would have completely shut down this Paris Climate Accord once and for all. That didn't happen, but we'll take what we can get. Hopefully they can stop this. House progressives have banded together to nuke the $550 billion bipartisan infrastructure package passed by the Senate in August, unless Speaker Nancy Pelosi links it to a $3.5 trillion Build Back Better Act. And so the people who are pushing back on that, again, Manchin and Sinema, you heard Steve Malloy talking about how they have essentially combined their names into a progressive curse word for them, I guess. It doesn't mean anything, but Manchima or whatever it was, or Sinema and Manchin combining them somehow. Republicans shut down a bid by Schumer to hold a vote to suspend the debt limit with a 51-vote threshold. And the headline says, Schumer blows a gasket, McConnell smug. So it's looking like hopefully that is going to be delayed and they'll have to come back with some other kind of scheme. But, of course, they will come back. They're not going to stop. The Fed Chair Powell is warning Congress that inflation pressures could last longer than expected. This is something that they've been in denial about for a very long time, saying this is just simply transitory, and yet we see this in everything. And it's not just things that we have shortages with, but it's tied to, the shortages are tied to the lockdowns, the shortages are tied to the mass unemployment that is being forced on everybody with these vaccine mandates. And, of course, it's affected everything from housing to cars to fuel to homes. Everything is affected by this inflation. And the Federal Reserve is trying to keep a lid on this by not raising interest rates. And, of course, that doesn't put a lid on the inflation. They're trying to pretend that there is nothing happening with this. You have the Dallas Fed president, Kaplan, who was caught doing a lot of insider trading. And he is now saying he's going to retire because it's become a distraction. He doesn't want people to realize just how corrupt this organization is. Of course, they don't have any distractions when Nancy Pelosi is caught doing insider trading. That's not an issue. But we have 131 federal judges have broken the law by hearing cases where they had financial interest, reports the Wall Street Journal. So think about this. You know, we got Nancy Pelosi, and she's still doing so much insider trading that you got people saying, well, I just look at her reports that she files, but of course they don't get public for about 40 days, I think it is, 40, 45 days. So there's a bit of a lag there. She's probably already made her money, you know, trading on the insider information that she knows that things are going to go up or go down. But it said, you know, he was joking to say that he watches what she does. Everybody knows that Nancy Pelosi has made hundreds of millions of dollars, she and her husband, by doing insider trading. You find that the Federal Reserve chair in Dallas was doing the same thing. Now we see 131 federal judges, they say, broke the law by hearing cases. These are 685 court cases. These are judges that have been appointed from every president, from Lyndon Johnson all the way to Donald Trump. This is how corrupt our government is. Do you see a pattern here? Insider trading, corruption, conflict of interest at every level of government because we have so much power in Washington. I have said for the longest time that all of these attempts to reform Washington by saying we're going to have campaign finance reform or all these schemes that have come up with the left saying, well, you just satisfy the government that you're a legitimate candidate and then everybody will be on a level playing field and everybody will get money and you won't have any of this dirty money coming in and so forth. What an unbelievably naive understanding that is of what is happening there. First of all, you're not going to be considered to be a legitimate candidate if you are an outsider. You're not going to get that at all. So all they're doing is they're setting this thing up as another trough for them to feed out of. Because the real issue is that there is so much money in Washington that it has become a giant black hole that attracts corrupt people from all over the world to come there. All they have to do is buy a politician, like we were talking about with the offer, the most recent offer that we found out about the Bidens. Hunter Biden offering for $2 million, I think it was, to help to unfreeze $30 billion for Libya. So that's like spend a dollar on a politician and you get back $15,000. They're a great return on investment. And when they have the ability to pass that kind of money around, when that much money and power is concentrated into Washington, you're going to get every kind of criminal you can imagine. And so we've got 131 federal judges broke the law by hearing cases where they had a conflict of interest. We saw this with Obamacare. We saw Elena Kagan, who had been kind of the point person on selling Obamacare. And when it was about to come before the Supreme Court, they had a vacancy. They put her on the court. And then rather than recuse herself, she ruled on that. We saw this with Alex Azar as HHS under Donald Trump, a guy who had been the CEO of Eli Lilly going in at HHS. Scott Gottlieb, who was the FDA commissioner at the beginning of the Trump administration, leaving and going to work for Pfizer. It is a revolving door, and it is because there is so much money and power in Washington. So you have GOP senators introducing a bill to block Biden's weaponization of the IRS's bank account surveillance. Troubling on a number of different levels. Number one, the fact that Biden wants to, this massive army of people is there to surveil every financial action. You know, when we look at the fact that he's lowered this down to any transaction that is $600, for example, you're getting pretty close to everyone. In the same way that he put out his vaccine mandate and said, well, we're going to mandate it for all businesses that have 100 employees or more, that's pretty close to everybody. Well, when you say we're going to monitor all transactions of $600 or more, that's pretty close to saying we're going to monitor all transactions. And this is a transitory step to a central bank digital cash system, which will monitor every single thing. And so right now, to get that set up, he wants to have $80 billion, to have 87,000 new IRS agents. So he's spending about $1 million per IRS agent. Let me tell you, they're not going to be making $1 million, but they're going to be building an infrastructure that is going to be one of monitoring, and then that will be just a stepping stone to continual monitoring of everything that everybody does. Senator John Boozman of Arkansas said, so this is all about looking at everybody's transactions and then hoping that perhaps they find something that's not getting reported so they can come after you and then get that income. In other words, bring me the bank account and I'll find the violation. To paraphrase Stalin, bring me the man, I'll find the crime. Bring me the bank account, I'll find the violation. Because you know, when we talk about three felonies a day, the Harvey Silverglate book, people, there's so many laws on the books that people are, on average, he believes, committing about three felonies a day without even knowing it. The IRS code is so complicated that people are constantly violating it, and it becomes an entrapment scheme to get their political enemies. That's what this is really about. A radical expansion of the IRS's monitoring of Americans' bank accounts would be stopped in its tracks under a proposal introduced by two Senate Republicans concerned about protecting privacy rights. This is good, and I hope that they will succeed in doing this. This, again, is coming out of the Senate. If it's coming out of the House of Representatives, there's probably not any chance it's even going to get up to a vote. But you've got a couple of Republican senators who are pushing this. Maybe you will have something happen with that. And if enough people are angry about this and push back, who knows? You might even wind up getting something out of the House. And you see the Republicans will stand up when it has to do with financial liberty. They'll still stand for financial liberty. At least there's something there. They won't stand for anything else. And I was surprised at how they took a powder as the pandemic lockdown was destroying the financial liberty of so many Main Street businesses. Nevertheless, they say the Biden proposal will drop the dollar threshold at which federal tax agencies will be allowed to examine an individual's private bank account to just $600 from the present $10,000. And they point out here that if you adjusted this for inflation, Boozman said, today $600 is such a small amount. To put this in perspective, when this law was passed several decades ago, we said, if you got a transaction that is $10,000 or more, that will be reported to the IRS. They said, if you adjusted this for inflation, that $10,000 limit that we put in a few years ago, that would be equivalent to $50,000 today. And so what Biden is doing is he's really not dropping this from a $10,000 reporting requirement. He's dropping it from a $50,000 requirement as it was originally. But, of course, $10,000, it's been that threshold has been dropped because of the Federal Reserve's inflation. And, again, this is all just a step to a digital cash system. But what a great idea, isn't it, to have 87,000 new IRS agents? How in the world do you say that by dropping this down to $600 that you're not raising taxes on people who are making less than $400,000? That was his pledge, wasn't it? Do you think that any billionaires are making $600 transactions? They light their cigars with a $600 bill. Yes. Yeah, I mean, they probably are smoking $600 cigars. Yeah, this is for the little guy. This is not for the big guys at all. And this is the way these income tax regulations always come in. The income tax itself began as a 1% tax on the 1% of the 1% before it became a wage tax, before it continued to get pushed down more and more. But they always bring it in and say that this is about taxing your neighbor. This is not about you. Your neighbor is not paying their fair share. All of socialism is essentially based on envy. It's based on jealousy. So we talked about the Biden fake shot. The other question that the Daily Caller asks, that will a vaccine mandate trigger the Great Resignation? The Great Resignation. Eric Eisenman, a partner at the law firm Husk Blackwell, told the Daily Caller News Foundation, "I'm probably bearish on the idea that you're going to have mass resignations." He said, "I think one of the efforts that you're going to see over the next month as more and more businesses roll out mandates is that there's going to be a shrinking population that is still objecting." So in other words, he thinks that it's going to work rather than having people resign. And one of the New York's largest unions, representing the school administrators, said it is dangerous and irresponsible for the city to move forward with a plan to allow schools and centers to operate so severely understaffed, because they're talking about massive resignations in the schools. And Eisman, who is a labor lawyer, that's why the Daily Caller Foundation talked to him, I guess, he questioned if OSHA would have the means to ensure that businesses thoroughly investigate all employee exemption requests. Well, as I pointed out, OSHA is going to the former head of OSHA in a Twitter thread, made it clear that, of course, they don't have enough people to enforce this. They're going to rely on snitches from inside the company. Snitches who are, oh, for example, guys like this, lawyers, human resources people, employees, will blow the whistle on the employer, and then OSHA will come in after that's been done and then make an example of them. They'll do fines, they'll do press releases and so forth to intimidate other people. He said that's the way this is going to roll out. But, of course, buried in all of this legislation, as I pointed out yesterday, is a, I think it's like page 100 or 1200 or whatever of this legislation, $700,000 fine they will go up to for people who violate these vaccine mandates. It's absolutely insane. My best guess, he said, is that there's about a 50% likelihood the emergency temporary standard would survive a legal challenge, about a 50% chance it would be enjoined. OSHA would then have to go back to the drawing board. By the way, I had appreciated, Mark, you sent that to me. I said yesterday OSHA was under under HHS. It's under the Department of Labor. There is, interestingly enough, when it was created back in 1970, again, under Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon, who gave us the EPA, gave us OSHA, gave us wage and price controls, 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. He took us off of the gold standard and you know all the stuff that he did. I could go on and on. Department of Energy was his creation as well. Boy, he really grew the government. But when they created OSHA back in 1970, part of that, they have an institute, interestingly enough, and this is how I got derailed off of it. It's the Institute of Occupational Health and Safety, and that is actually under HHS. So they have like a NIOSH is what they call it, and the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. And they actually do research as to where they can come up with different health regulations to impose through regular OSHA. And as they were saying, they're going to get very creative with all of this stuff to make that an enforcement arm to impose penalties on people. One husband of a New York City nurse who's been forced to resign says, well, even if we win in court, the damage will have been done. You will have destroyed the lives of many nurses in the meantime. They said about 94,000 health care workers in New York State are facing termination for refusing to get the jab, leaving the governor there to declare a state of emergency. Ah, that's where this all happens, isn't it? According to her husband, his wife, listen to this, has come across many vitriolic comments and threats from people on the internet, including statements by people who advocate that they track down and destroy the lives of workers who lost or will be losing their jobs for standing up to the state's vaccine discrimination policy. You know, I talk about the snitches within companies reporting that, well, they're not enforcing this vaccine mandate. I mean, just look at how our society has devolved. Look at what it has become. This East German mentality of people snitching on each other all the time. And then people who are, because of health concerns or because of religious concerns, who do not want to get the jab. And again, if your jab works, good for you. Take it. If it doesn't work, don't make me take it. This is the insanity of saying, well, I've got a seatbelt here and it doesn't work, so I want you to wear your seatbelt. I've got a motorcycle helmet and it doesn't work, so I want you to wear your motorcycle helmet. I don't have to be, I'm not going to play that fantasy game. As I said many times, if somebody wants to pretend that they're Napoleon and dress up and run around like Napoleon, go ahead. It doesn't bother me until you start interacting with me. Don't expect me to start following your orders because you think you're Napoleon. Don't expect me to bow down to you. And I'm not going to bow down to these people. And they are vicious. It's bad enough that they would make these kinds of demands on people, but the fact that they would seek them out and that they would try to track them down and destroy their lives, these people who are losing their livelihood, that's just beyond the pale. That's why I think what Biden is doing, what these governors are doing in so many different places is so reprehensible. Because what they're doing is they are manufacturing a Great Depression. When you're going to kick off instantly 10 to 20% of the people. And, you know, we saw the first round of this last year. Look at how many small businesses were destroyed. Just broke my heart to see that. I come from a family. My wife and I had a small business. I come from a family where both my grandfathers eventually were able to get a small business. My dad had a small business. I know how hard people work to keep that going. I know how hard people work in their career to get into a position like this that these nurses are losing. And then have that taken away for no reason at all. No reason at all. Staff shortages have been a consistent problem for years, he said, in New York State. And I showed that at the very beginning of this. You had all of these pieces where they had the same news organizations were talking about the same hospitals and saying the same thing about shortages of beds, shortages of staff. I found the articles from 3 years earlier where they were saying exactly the same thing. Staffing and bed shortages at exactly the same hospitals in New York, and it was done by the same news organizations. They just recycled the story. And so they've had these types of things for years. He said these new discriminatory directives will only further exacerbate the already pressing issue. He said, because this is a county hospital, these are state employees. It's not like a non-vaccinated medical professional can just go somewhere else. You've destroyed the career of medical professionals because this is a statewide mandate. He said, this is just some of the things that we're dealing with here in this one-party state, where conservatives and Christians have no influence in their government. This is happening here, and this is probably one of the most conservative counties in the state of New York. This has been the last bastion of hope Lewis County has been for New York, but it was destroyed in one fell swoop. This is what this pandemic has done. And it's not the pandemic, but it's the idea that all they have to do is declare that something is a safety issue, and then there is nothing that can stop them. And this is what they trained for 20 years. And the end goal was to have the vaccine, but the end goal is also a totalitarian society. And this is my concern as we look at various states. You understand that it's not just, we see this in New York, we see this in Washington State, Oregon, and California. We see that small urban or a small number of areas where they have a massive population growth, the big cities. You know, so you've got L.A., San Francisco, where you have Seattle, Portland. They can dominate the politics of the state. And that is an ongoing issue. And that is going to be an issue, I think, everywhere. And I think that's one of the reasons why we see so much of a leftward drift. And it's another reason why I don't think that even the state government is ultimately going to be, they're not doing anything, first of all, to use their state powers to stop any of this federal encroachment, this globalist encroachment. But it's only going to get worse. And so I think the answer for all of us, just as he was looking at this, he said, Lewis County, even though he's in a county, he said, we are officially, the hospitals are state employees, but you're going to have to fall back to a defensible position to build back out of that, and that means the county level. And if we can get a concentration of people in county levels, I think we can start to try to defend our territory. It's kind of the same type of thing that you see in New Hampshire with the Free State Project. They said if we could get 20,000 people to move to New Hampshire, we could get enough, because it's a small population state, we could get enough people that we could have an effect on the government. We could move it in a direction for liberty. So you had the libertarians pushing on the Free State Project. But I think that that type of thing can be done at a county level. And so we need to identify these places, and we need to get there, because no state is going to be safe. Texas is not going to be safe. You're going to have these big urban liberal areas like Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin that are going to be dominating state politics here as elsewhere. The Biden vaccine, I guess we should call him Jab Biden instead of Joe Biden, right? Jab Biden and his vaccine mandate, causing hospital shortages everywhere. And it's not just the fact that they're state employees, because the way this is rolling out from the federal government is the fact that these different entities are getting Medicaid and Medicare funding. And so when the government is handing out the cash, even if it's an entitlement program, they can control the flow of the cash. They can tie strings to it. This is how they're pushing through males and female locker rooms and showers. Because they give them a lot of money, they get addicted to this cash, and they say, we're going to cut that off. That's why I say that the key thing about last year was that national executive order. It triggered what they had already prepared for, the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act, and then it also, most importantly, was the money that flowed out. So as you point out here in Texas, the Brownfield Regional Medical Center in Texas, they think as much as 25% of the staff will be lost. Again, why is this not a concern? Now, why would Biden deliberately burn down our society, creating shortages of medical care in a so-called public health pandemic? I mean, why is it that these people who are supporting these mandates, supporting the vaccines, why is it they can't see what a lie this is when he's going to shut down entire hospitals because of a vaccine mandate and they've operated for 20 months without any vaccines? These people. Why can't they put two and two together? United Airlines CEO Kirby holds an interview wearing a mask on Zoom and says, I feel bad for the 593 people that I'm going to fire. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's crying crocodile tears for that. You can see them pooling up on his mask there. Look at that. Isn't that just disgusting? Unbelievable. So, I've got to fire 593 people. And I really feel bad about that. Well, at least six of them, 1%, last week filed a class action lawsuit against the airline. And they say it violates the 1964 Civil Rights Act. At the heart of all this, again, is the natural immunity. But we seem to have a national immunity against any kind of questioning of what we're told here. Natural immunity is the big elephant in the room for these guys. Even CNN's Sanjay Gupta, when he asked Fauci, and I played that clip for you before, He says, so what about this natural immunity? And he's kind of stumbled. And he goes, well, I don't really have an answer for you on that. I'm going to have to think about a good lie. Yeah. I think that's something we need to sit down and discuss seriously, because I don't have an answer for you with that, right? Well, as the Mises Institute points out, let's talk, we got these dueling studies. Now, we're not allowed to look at a study that contradicts what the government tells us about any given policy, right? There's one thing that comes up that is now anointed as science, and you shall not question it. But they said, what if we've got 25 studies proving that vaccines are better than natural immunity, but only 20 studies that prove that natural immunity is better than a vaccine? Would coercive vaccine mandates then suddenly be justified? Unfortunately, that's exactly how many advocates for repressive policies think the world should work. Except it doesn't even make it to that point. I mean, we're not even looking at, well, we got 25 studies here that say this, and we got 20 studies that say the other, so we're going to weigh those two things together. That's not even what they do. And quite frankly, that wouldn't be doing science anyway. Because all scientific advances have usually come when the consensus is challenged. Because science is never settled, is always should be skeptical. And you don't determine science by a vote. You don't determine it by the number of studies that are there. You need to be able to debate this, and they've shut down debate. But the key thing is, when we look at this, it's just another example of why these things should not be socialized. We should be able to make up our own decisions in consultation with our doctor, because we don't have a one-size-fits-all healthcare system. People have different health issues. They have different health requirements. That's why we have physicians. That's why we have a doctor-patient relationship. And so it ultimately has to be an individual decision that is there. At this point, it would be embarrassing for the regime to admit, though, what actual scientific inquiry has shown, that natural immunity is generally superior to receiving the vaccine. Now, interestingly enough, as we look at these vaccine mandates that are rolling out, we see that in Canada, the largest national police union is supporting members resisting the COVID shot. In this article, they have a picture of a guy. He's all dressed up like a Mountie. And, of course, it was the Royal Canadian Mounted Police dressed as stormtroopers in all black uniforms and weaponized. And they were arresting these pastors left and right beginning of this year. But now when it comes for them, they're having some issues with it. Again, going back to Pastor Martin Niemöller. Yeah, you know, first they... First, we came for the pastors and we locked them up. But now they're coming for us and they want us to participate in this and to take the shots, and we're not happy about that. Well, you know, that's instructive, but let's take the people as we can get them who are going to come to our side. Because if you remember the Berlin Wall, the point at which it flipped was the point at which the guards decided that they weren't going to shoot people. You know, we had the gradual buildup of protesters. Started with just a few people. They'd meet at a church. The crowds gradually got bigger and bigger. They started doing marches. More and more people joined. Finally got to the point where they realized that the prison guards were with them and not with the government. And they just kind of marched up there, and then everything started being taken down. If we can get the prison guards on our side, the police that have been enforcing this, if they will flip, you've got these police in Australia saying, yeah, I'm with you. I don't agree with this, but it's my job. If they will see this is coming, and this is why in New York they're not mandating it for the New York Police Department. If they don't get the vaccine, there's going to be some demotion, and they're going to put them in some jobs that they don't like that much, but they're not mandating it in New York because they don't want the police to flip on them. And so if these people do flip, even after they've been enforcing these regulations, these draconian, unnecessary regulations, even if they've been violating the Constitution, or in the case of Canada, violating the Charter for individual freedom that they have there, even at that point, when they change, we need to welcome them with open arms. And this could be a tipping point as they start to push this out. The tipping point for all of this might be the arrogance of Biden. These people who think they can get away with doing anything to us because we stayed silent for the last year. One retired police officer said, our numbers are growing every day in leaps and bounds with active duty people now. It's no longer just a retired guy speaking out against this. It's now the active duty policemen with the Mounties, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, who are coming out and saying that this is wrong. I've read the charter many times, and I've never seen anywhere in there where it says that the government knows what's best for my body. One thing it does say in the charter, specifically, is that they will not violate religious freedom. And that was one of the reasons why these cases where they were arresting pastors were so vital. That's it for the broadcast today. Thank you for listening.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.